scratch about.
This program contains graphic images which may be disturbing to sensitive viewers. The people profiled all survived. Discretion is advised.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
No regrets. That's my motto. That and everybody Wing Chun tonight.
No. 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 No, 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 no. 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 N-O. No. No. No.
And now.
Give me 10 cc's of penicillin.
What the hell is that? What is penicillin?
Penicillin. Penicillin. Oh. What the hell is that?
Our feature presentation.
That is very, very different. Those two things could not be more different.
Right. Yeah.
Although I rented penicillin once. It wasn't that bad. Yeah. Yeah, it was all right. Hey, party people, what's going on? It is Monday. Today is the 31st and final day of January. Hey, TV boy, welcome back.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing all the details about Mike's quick trip to New York City. It must have seemed like a blur to you, like you were barely there. You were in and you were out.
Yeah.
You were up and you were down.
Both the travel and even, you know, when I was out there, everything just went by so quickly. But I guess that's a good sign.
You failed in really your only goal, which was to nail Kelly.
I failed in many ways. I didn't nail Kelly. I didn't work in Rippa and the Tearing. There was a lot of stuff.
How could you not work in Rippa and the Tearing?
I had my whole plan.
You were trying desperately, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a live thing, and then a conversation goes one direction, you want it to go the other, and I just didn't have a chance, but I regret it.
Yeah.
But in your defense, many people in that audience would not have even gotten the reference.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
It would not have gone over well, so you chose to...
Look, none of his goals would have gone over
well.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
That's just the problem with Mike, or what makes him good.
Yeah, that's not the barometer.
Depending on where you're looking.
I think if Mike had had another day, if he'd filled in again like today, I think he would have nailed Kelly, though. She wanted it badly.
Seriously, she loved him so much.
Yeah, she really did. He really did. So yeah. I think you were onto something there, dude.
And I couldn't hear it, so I went home and watched it later. And
I did, too.
I thought, wow, he's good.
I agree. He did an amazing job.
We're talking about Mike?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I couldn't hear anything,
you know, when we were here.
No, exactly. Yeah. Well, we do have some highlights coming up later. First, though, speaking of television, anyone watch the SAG Awards last night?
No.
Did not.
Listen, I'm lame, but... I searched SAG Awards, and I found the red carpet for the SAG
Right,
Awards.
Red carpet was on E leading up to when the show started, right?
And then
the SAG Awards were on TNT.
Couldn't find it.
Yeah. It was okay. I'm really over award shows, especially the, you know, the
can't
banter.
Be. You're our award guy.
Not anymore.
Oh, come on.
Not anymore.
No, everyone else hates them, so you have
to
do
it. I hate them too now.
Oh,
especially the banter, you know, the witty banter that they write between the presenters. For professional actors, it's always so poorly read. I mean, it's painful to watch. It was a fairly boring show, although there was one very, very funny thing, and I do have a highlight here because I don't know if we'll have any time to do it later on. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series. Now, this is a big-time category. I mean, this is one of those categories where you could see anybody winning. Sophia Vergara is in it from Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Lynch is in it from Glee. Wow. Tina Fey, 30 Rock.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking heavyweights of comedy, right? Edie Falco from Nurse Jackie and the adorable Betty White for Hot in Cleveland. They're in the category, okay? Now, let me play John Hamm giving out the award, and then the funniest thing happens.
And the funniest actress... in this category, according to Amy Poehler and the Teamsters, is Betty White.
Shocking, shocking win, Betty
Are
White.
Are you kidding?
89-year-old Betty White, shocking win. So they flash the camera on Betty White, and she's, you know, amazed, of course. She, like the rest of us, thought she had no possibility. It's definitely going to be Tina Fey or Jane Lynch or Sophia Vergara, right?
No possibility.
So they flash the camera on her, and then she stands up, and the announcer comes on to read, you know, the deal.
Betty White celebrates her first nomination and first win in this category. She's also nominated tonight in ensemble acting for Hot in Cleveland.
Oh, by the way, I know you think it's just a courtesy win because she's Betty White, but she is great on that show. She's very, very funny. But the reason I bring it up is not because of that. It's because I want you to see how long it takes Betty White to get to the podium. Now, the band, here's what happens at these shows, right? The band has to keep playing until the person gets behind the microphone at the podium.
Right. Is this one of those deals where she has to walk around tables and find her way?
Yes. Yeah. So everybody is standing up waiting for Betty White to make it to the stage. The woman is 89 years old, and not only is she old, but everybody wants to congratulate her on the way. So let's enjoy the band for a bit, shall we?
This is still...
Oh, I just let it roll after after the announcement. I just let it roll. Okay. Now, I love this part. The band finishes the song that they have, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's the theme to Hot in Cleveland, but they finished the song, okay?
She's probably played it three times already.
Well, she's nowhere near the stage, so listen, they start it up again. All right, song's over now. Here it comes. And they just start playing it again. And I'm like, Betty, come on, it's only a two-hour show. Where are you, baby?
Can't they just, like, she's in a pit? Can't they just pass her over her head?
I cannot believe
this. She goes. Yeah, she made it.
She shouldn't believe it. That's ridiculous. Hilarious. Jane Lynch gets beat by her. Come on.
Well, I know you think everything's a conspiracy.
But this is.
Those are actors who voted on who they wanted to win. So you can blame the actors. They're the only people who vote in the SAG
Awards. I'll blame the actors then.
But just hilarious, and I know that you know when they do the seating chart, the shows that are hottest that are most likely to win, they generally put near the front so that is avoided. And I'm sure nobody had any idea she was going to win, so she was kind of in the back. But it was still pretty funny.
Can you see the seating people just standing around with clipboards? Betty White. Yeah, let's put her in the second tier. There's no possible way she's going to win.
I don't even want her on camera. They're saying,
yeah.
So anyway,
they either need to not give her the award or let her accept it at her table and just have a camera.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Really, because that was a long time.
Somebody just runs over with a mic.
Right.
Yeah.
It was, the one thing is it does have, it does have all your favorites on it. You know, I mean, the Alec Baldwins of the world, they're there. And they win. So Boardwalk Empire was a big winner. Modern Family was a big winner. So, we're in a lot of surprises, but Betty White sure was.
But Sofia Vergara doesn't win over Betty White. She should just win just from being hot.
Did she win an Emmy? Do you remember?
Who?
Sofia Vergara?
I don't remember. I thought Jane Lynch won the Emmy.
Maybe it was Jane Lynch.
She should win all of them.
Well, maybe next
is what I'm saying.
Just to watch her walk up
to
the She came out last night, and she just couldn't be any hotter, Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, she's gotten hotter as she's gotten older.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you're starting now to have to put on sunglasses when she comes on TV because you're going to get burned by her hotness.
And you know who is not that way? Betty White.
Yeah, but 75 years ago, man. Come on.
Even 75 years ago. That's ridiculous.
That you can say that is crazy.
Actors, that's ridiculous. That was a we better give her something before she dies vote.
There might be a little of that, to be sure.
But I think usually that's the nomination. It's an honor to be nominated. That's the nod to, hey, we love you, and you've had a great show.
You might be gone soon.
The fact that she won was the shocker to me, and I don't make
it is
me
a
wonder,
shocker.
What's up?
Bad things are up. I'm telling you, that was a bad decision. Seriously, when you're
says
up
the
against,
man, by the way, who's never seen her on that
that's
show.
That's true. But when you're up against Jane Lynch, who I have seen, and you know she's brilliant in that show. If it wasn't for Jane Lynch, Glee would not be on the map, I don't think.
Well, there were several categories like that where you go, how do you pick?
You know,
it's just, I mean, it's crazy how much talent there
Tina
is
Faye,
and how good shows they're on.
I mean, really? Come on.
Yeah.
She's the one that started the show and writes it and everything else and is the star.
Yep, that's true.
Betty White. F the Screen Actors Guild. Right? Who's with me?
I'm not with you.
No. F Betty White. Who's with
me? I would.
No,
I would.
No, not that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
No way.
All right, let's not. Does he get to overrule us? On today's show, we're going to talk to Jason Statham, the mechanic.
Wow.
Somebody's got to fix the problems when problems come up. And
did you see that over the weekend?
I didn't. I tried desperately, but I was busy. Had a very busy weekend. Very, very busy.
Okay.
We're also going to talk about the new way the Mexican gangs are getting pot across the border into America. Because I don't think you'll think it's real. It can't possibly be real, but I think it is real, but it can't be. But it is, but it can't be. It involves a catapult.
What?
That just seems like it's too ghetto to even try.
It seems like an awfully 60th century solution.
Right. And it can't possibly have worked once. We're also going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about all the celebs over the weekend. Sorry, Rodney. I'm sure that involves Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
On his way to rehab. Psycho Mike highlights. And we're changing offices here at the station. And we had to go through everything and clean it out. And we have some really premium items that we're going to start giving away today.
Is that how we're selling it?
Yes. Really just premium items.
Top of the line.
Like a WWE pimp cup.
Oh, like that cup is awesome.
We're going to give these away for nothing. Wow. I mean, people would pay thousands for that.
Especially
alone.
Pimp cup, yeah.
We have a pair of binoculars. Why? I don't know. But they're going to be up for grabs today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Everything must go. So that's coming up as well. We will take a break and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Piano, 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 piano. We get it. Piano. Okay, you can play the piano. We're all very impressed.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 10 minutes till 6.
Welcome to a new week of the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we should mention tickets for the Big Four later on today's program, and that includes your Metallica, your Slayer, your Megadeth, and your Anthrax Saturday, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California. We got 4 packs of tickets on the program today. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend, man?
Oh, magical.
Magical.
Oh. How'd it go with Smithy on Saturday night?
Another sold-out show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. And, boy, it was a fun show. We had a good time Saturday night. Thanks to everybody who came out.
You didn't drink, did you?
No.
Ralph, are you kidding?
It's ridiculous. Just because they give me a an open tab at the bar and just let me drink whatever I want. Why would I take advantage of that on a Saturday night? No.
By the way,
Ralph,
thank God they give you
just green tea for me. Thanks.
Thank God they give you an open tab, or you would, even though you're getting paid to be there, would owe money when you left.
Yeah, it would cost me money. It'd be like the Blues Brothers. The guy comes out at the end of the gig and says, "You guys owe us $300 for the beer." Well, you gave us the first one. We thought the beer. Oh no. They actually lose money on their gigs.
Do you think that they had a meeting afterwards and went, you know, we're going to have to close the tab on Garmin.
Yeah, we might have to rethink this whole free drinks for the talent thing. Usually it works out okay for us, but
sure.
We're starting to get burned on Saturday nights. Maybe somebody could work something out.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. The Right, surprisingly, was number one at the box office this weekend. The new horror film about the devil and priests and exorcisms, starring Anthony Hopkins. $15 million in his debut weekend was good enough to make it number one. No Strings Attached was number two. Then there was a tie between The Mechanic in its debut weekend and The Green Hornet. They both made about $11.5 million. King's Speech was fifth. True Grit, The Dilemma, Black Swan, The Fighter, and Yogi Bear, your top movies over the weekend. Speaking of movies and TV shows, last night, the Screen Actors Guild gave out their Excellence in Performance Awards, and no big surprises, except maybe for Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Drama Series, a very tough category. You had John Hamm from Mad Men, you got Hugh Laurie from House, but Steve Buscemi walked away the big winner last night for his performance as Nucky Thompson in Boardwalk Empire. Boardwalk Empire also won Best Cast in a Drama Series. Congratulations to those guys, and well-deserved. That's a real good cast. Best performance by a cast in a motion picture was The King's Speech. It was a big winner for the night. It also led to an award for Colin Firth, who plays King George in that film. He won for Best Male Actor. Best Female Actor lead in a performance was Natalie Portman for Black Swan. Yeah. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama series, Glenn Close won for Damages. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role in a movie, Melissa Leo won for The Fighter. Alec Baldwin won for Best Performance by a Male Actor in a Comedy Series. The Best Female Actor in a Comedy Series went to Betty White.
That's ridiculous.
For Hot in Cleveland.
Come on. You're with me, Ralph. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was obviously a body of work award. That was a thanks for being around for so long. Here's your Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
It did take her a long time to get to the podium.
Did it ever.
But at least she had the wherewithal to say, you made an old woman go up these stairs.
At least she was aware of the fact that it took her a while to get up there. So.
I have a question for you, Ralph. Because actors are the largest voter body in the Academy Awards, these are pretty good indications of which movie awards will be handed out in a couple of weeks at the Oscars, right?
Yes.
Yeah, real good indicators. For example, Christian Bale won for The Fighter, a supporting actor. He's an odds-on favorite to win the Oscar as well.
Mm-hmm.
On television, Modern Family won for Best Cast in a Comedy.
Sure.
Also well-deserved. Al Pacino once again won for his role in You Don't Know Jack, a movie about Jack Kevorkian.
I was so happy he wasn't there last night. He gives the worst acceptance of the speeches ever.
I love it when he goes up there.
Let's talk about costumes. Come on now. And Claire Danes won again for her role as Temple Grandin in the HBO movie about that woman with autism.
Didn't they?
That's like 5 years in a row she's won for that,
yeah,
right?
She's been winning and winning and winning.
That's crazy.
So congratulations. Finally, this isn't working. What's wrong here?
I don't know.
I don't either. There we go.
That's working.
Charlie Sheen in rehab. Lindsay Lohan has come out to say that she thinks Charlie has a problem and she's glad he's getting help. If Lindsay Lohan says that you have a problem, don't even bother with rehab. There's no point. You're beyond helping. You either take the big dirt nap or you just party on.
Just Kevorkian it?
Party on, Charlie.
All right.
He is in rehab with no word on when he'll be getting out. So Two and a Half Men is on hiatus indefinitely until he gets out of rehab. Last time he was in for 93 days. So they're thinking at least 3 months before they get back to work.
I was asking Mike if that's a long time. Seems like it's a long time. He says for a guy like Charlie Sheen, a problem like that, not really. Could be twice that long.
Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, sure, but any hardcore narcotic addiction, usually you need some serious help for over a lengthy period.
3 months.
Yeah, and especially if someone's been using for a long period of time, because it's not just a matter of getting them clean and, you know, like detoxing them. It's like you don't want to rush them back into normal society that quickly. You know, getting them just adjusted to being a human again, it could take, like 6 months.
Especially a guy like Charlie Sheen, who has nobody that's going to say no to him when he gets out.
Yeah.
So if he's not in a place where he's in command of his own sobriety, if he's weak and he says, oh, I think I want to use again, there's no one around him that's going to say no, no. All the porn stars in the big screen theater that he's got in his house are going to say, no, Charlie, no, no, you shouldn't get us another suitcase full of blow. We're good, thanks. So we'll see what happens. My favorite part of the story, by the way, you see where his uncle, Joe Estevez, contacted the producers of Two and a Half Men? And said, you know, I'm really the funniest one in the family. Why don't we write it in that Charlie's uncle comes by to house sit while he's on vacation?
Are you kidding me?
And I'll take over the role and I'll be on the series while my nephew's in rehab.
Are you kidding me?
What do you think of that idea, producers of Two and a Half Men?
Wow, that takes some nerve.
They have not responded to his
I think it's very generous and very magnanimous of him to offer to help out his nephew.
Wow.
Glad he's thinking of his nephew in his time of difficulties. And more rehab news. Demi Lovato's out. I guess she stopped cutting herself and beating up dancers, so they're letting her out. But Jason Davis may have to go back in. If you watched Celebrity Rehab, you know who Jason Davis is.
Gummy bear.
Grandson of Martin Davis. He got popped Thursday night after police discovered drugs in his home.
His home? What were they doing in his home?
911 was called. Apparently the family was worried. They wanted the cops to check up on him, and they got there and found a few party favors there in his home. It doesn't say which one it was. I know he had a heroin problem, so I'm assuming that might be the situation.
If you call them party favors, does it make it better?
Yeah, yeah, okay. It does. Yeah. And the cops put on pointed hats and they go,
it's a lesser charge, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And the thing I love about it is that's got to be less than 24 hours after he appeared on the final Celebrity Rehab.
He did the reunion show, I think, and then went and scored and went home and started doing drugs.
Unbelievable.
So once again, Dr. Drew, fraud. That's all I'm telling you.
Not a real doctor.
That isn't good for you.
Dr. Drew doesn't do any good for anyone.
He does.
Well, tell that to Jason Davis.
Jason Davis is
shooting up minutes after he hung out with Dr. Drew.
Dr.
Drew makes you do more drugs. That's what I think.
It
seems like everyone Dr. Drew hangs around has some kind of drug or alcohol problem.
That's his business.
Good point. Or is it his fault? Today's celebrity birthdays.
Ask his little friend DJ AM how he feels about that, Kevin. He got all that support.
Wow.
God, I'm just saying. Look.
That's dark.
Wow.
That's dark.
Really?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
You're the one that said it.
Why shouldn't we look at you?
Dr. Drew's the one that kills people, though.
He doesn't. Oh, for God's sakes.
I heard he was hanging out with Michael Jackson.
The night, come on, those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
The propofol night. I heard that.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake celebrates his birthday today. As we look at celebrity birthdays, he is 30 years old today. Portia de Rossi celebrates her 38th birthday. Minnie Driver's 41 years old today. Jeff Hanneman of Slayer.
Yeah!
There you go, Psycho Mike. Please enjoy. He is 47. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols turns 55 today. And actress Jessica Walter, who was so funny in Arrested Development as the mother of the Bluth clan. She is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for coming on back for an all-new week of the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Jason Statham in just a few minutes. And we've got highlights of Psycho Mike's appearance on the Regis and Kelly Show Friday in snowy New York City. Look, as long as there's an appetite for drugs in this country, they're never going to stop trying to bring them in from Mexico. And I'm always impressed every once in a while, you know, about once a year or so, they find one of these tunnels, one of these high-tech tunnels that somebody has dug out from Mexico into the United States. And some of them are unbelievably elaborate.
Yeah, it does look like they spent, you know, 10 years
right.
digging mm-hmm. in and putting in lights and everything. And then they find it and it's, well, that's got to be such a bummer.
They got
They got
tunnels that are so big and so advanced, cars can drive underneath the ground to deliver drugs. I mean, it's just crazy. And then come up into a warehouse, you know, in San Diego or something.
They've used planes, tunnels, vehicles, boats, and couriers. Colombian drug traffickers have even homemade submarines.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
So somebody sat down and went, okay, how do we make a submarine? Let's go online and see if we can find the specs.
So those are some of the high-tech ways that people are trying to get drugs into the country. But the story that came out last week makes you feel like we're living in 1580, right?
It really does. Drug smugglers are using an ancient invention as a way to move marijuana across the border from Mexico to Arizona. They are using a catapult.
Yeah!
So basically it's like a 3 meter tall catapult, and they put a giant brick of weed in it and then they pull it back and they release it. It's like a slingshot.
Yeah.
And it goes over the border. Now, obviously you have to have somebody on the other side pick it up.
Right.
So there has
mm-hmm.
to be some kind of organization. But you think this worked once?
I mean, it worked once.
It definitely worked.
I'm not saying getting it across, you know, over the border. I'm saying, do you think somebody picked it up and successfully distributed it?
I doubt that they were discovered on the first time they tried to use the catapult. I bet they were able to get a small quantity of drugs in.
Yeah, there's but so much area to cover with the Border Patrol agency. Can't
but
cover
apparently
everything.
It only launched about 4.5 pounds at a time.
Right. Well, that's how they start out, and then, you know, then they make them bigger so that they can do, like, you know, then 10 pounds, then 20 pounds.
Well,
but a catapult, I mean, who uses a catapult for anything anywhere anymore? I
very
love this
creative.
Story so much.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Well, they had a surveillance station down by the border, the Naco Border Patrol station, where the U.S. was able to see the catapult. But we asked producer Alex to line us up somebody on the Mexican side, just on the other side of the border from that station. And I'm not sure who we have, but we do have somebody who is apparently familiar with the story. Joining us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, thanks for calling the wind beneath my weed. What can I get you?
Is this Rudy?
Is this Rudy?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, buddy?
It's Kevin and Bean. Hey, Rudy, what are you doing?
Oh, you know, just like keeping my head up in the bad economy. Got a job, dog, you know what I'm saying? Launching some dank weed, launching some drugs, whatever you need.
Rudy.
Can I get you guys something?
Wait, you're the person that's catapulting the weed?
I'm really busy right now. Can you hold on?
Yeah.
What's up? Thank you for calling the wind beneath my weed. All right, 2 pounds of purple kush. Okay, hold on.
it's right there, huh?
Yep, that was right. That's how you do it, dog. Just blast it like that.
Just like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a great delivery service. We started with weed, and then now we worked our way up. We could deliver whatever you want. Like, and, you know, the Border Patrol can't do nothing about it. Hold on, okay?
You get that? Wow, it's busy.
Yeah, thank you for calling Wind Beneath My Weed. What's up? Two pair Nike Cortez and
what?
Size 40 Dickies. All right, hold tight, dog.
Wait, I'd like to ask if you don't mind what that last sound effect is.
That's me loading up the catapult. You know, once you blast it, you gotta, like, reload it. You know what
pull
I'm saying?
Pull it back. All right, so now you're doing claws.
Hold on.
Call a bit of bad
time. They were calling Wind Beneath My Weed. What's up? 3 eyebrow pencils, 4 tickets, Raiders versus Chargers. All right, hold on. Hold tight, dog. Here we go.
Wow. How do you have all that stuff right there at your fingertips? You don't
you
even have to
spend like a stack of cheese to sell them cheese, dog. You know
what I'm saying? Almost have a warehouse.
You have no idea how rich these guys are down here. These traficantes, dog. You know what I'm saying? They've been moving like major weight. So, like, I got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of materials I could work with.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But
ah, damn. But hey, hold tight. Hold tight, all right?
They're putting you in charge?
Thank you for calling the wind beneath my wings. Bachelor party. All right, you need a donkey show.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, I can handle that. Hold tight, dog. Here we go.
Just bring him down there.
No.
Oh, no.
You just catapulted a donkey through the air?
Yeah, the donkey through hyenas, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, like, I got to tell you, from phone call to delivery was 20 seconds.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for a donkey.
I got a lot of experience in manual labor. You know, I'm always fast, dog.
You are efficient, if nothing else.
Hey, all right. Okay, so landscaping. You need two. All right. Two guys, leaf floor. All right. No problem. Hold tight, dog. Here we go. Hey.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Wait a minute. I blasted that guy. I think he might have got a little farther.
Wait a minute. You're throwing people over now?
Yeah, speaking of that.
And he has to start his What do you call it? His weed blower before you actually...
Weed blower, right?
I don't know. I think he might have started by accident. He was a little scared, dog.
Well, I imagine.
All right. Thank you for calling Wind Beneath My Weed.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're building a house, dog. How many laborers? All right. I got to send them one at a time, though. Okay. So where? Encinitas? All right. Hold on, dog. All right, boy. Homeboy. Hey, home.
No, senor. No. Por favor, no. No!
Wait, that guy didn't sound like he wanted to go, Rudy.
Whatever.
So, Psycho Mike, how was New York?
It's pretty awesome. I really wish I could have had more time to spend in New York City, but the experience out there was pretty amazing.
Psycho Mike was filling in. It was the man of radio last week on the Regis and Kelly show. Regis was on vacation. He's back today. And Mike was the fifth and final person to sit in the chair next to Kelly. And Mike was telling us before you came in, Kevin, that he was surprised that there's no pre-interview for him or to him about the guests. It's all just off the top of your head, live on the air.
Yeah, because you guys
unusual for a national show.
Right. You guys have enough experience with TV shows like big, essentially talk shows.
Yeah.
Even if they're live, the Leno, Letterman, Kimmel... They run through and they do pre-interviews.
They do a pre-interview where they ask like the guests if there are anything interesting stories they have or whatever.
None of that, huh?
They came in with like a little packet telling you what project Brooke Shields and Bryan Adams were pitching, and then you just go.
It's a
live show. I mean, they didn't prep me.
I could have gone
out there and just a tirade of F-bombs and like I mean it was a really live
show. Would have been better.
Yeah, that's true.
I might say so myself.
Well, I will tell you, I learned a little bit something about me by watching this show. And now I know how embarrassing it is when Kevin and Bean have a hot chick on the show and all we do is fawn over her and talk about how perfect and awesome everything she does is, because that's what Mike's entire hour was like on the show because he's so pretty. Here's how the thing began when Mike came out on stage.
January 28th, 2011, our final co-host from the Men of Radio co-host search, Mike Catherwood, Psycho Mike from K-Rock in Los Angeles, California. It's very funny. He actually said to me backstage, lead me to the chair because I don't know where I'm, like, I guess our show would be on and you'd be working.
I watch the show a lot, but it's on mute. Right. Because I'm on the air, ever. So listen. We'll have it on in the studio. And you just get a different sense of how the studio's laid out and how things work when you're watching it on TV from an outsider's point of view. But then you get in here and I'm like, wait a second. Is it flipped? Because, right.
No.
It looks like we worked it out pretty well.
We worked it out fine. Right. You were exactly right.
Okay, so here's what's happening. Mike is saying, I'm pretty, so I'm too dumb to know how to walk from behind a curtain to sit in a chair. And Kelly's like, oh, no, you did perfect. That was great. You did outstanding.
But aren't there just two chairs?
I was making reference to, I wanted to help her sit in her chair. And when I walked in there, I honestly did get kind of confused. Like,
is
wait,
it backwards?
Is this Regis's chair or Kelly's chair? And then I don't want to pull out the wrong one because then I'll look like a
giant fool. No, that would have been funny.
So that was what I was making reference to. We do watch the show on mute, Kevin.
We don't. How dare you? We watch that show. I don't know if there's a guest on it or something. You don't ever watch that show.
I just love that Kelly is basically patting him on the head going, oh, no, you're perfect. You're great. Don't even worry about
it. That whole thing about sitting down in a chair, good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
Nice job. So Kelly's got a little deep background on Mike's radio career. This is one of the funniest things I think Mike said all day.
So tell me about Loveline. You give love advice to people, or
yes, it's
is it sex advice or love advice?
It's a combination of both, and I really think that the show is a gift to society.
It is a gift to society. That is, actually that is true. It's really a gift to humanity more than just society.
I didn't follow that up with. Not because of me at all, but look, you know, having the opportunity to have kids ask questions is a big deal.
Right, but did you say the words that just Bean just played, or did he edit that somehow together?
I really
together?
Think that the show is a gift to society.
A gift to society.
What I meant was, I really feel like I'm a gift to society. Right. And much like Paula Abdul, I don't know if people acknowledge it enough.
Kelly, let me tell you what I like about me. Could I?
I'm real. Well, I think society is really lucky to have us.
it does sound worse coming back at you.
Yes, it does.
Mike, of course, went for the cheap applause like he does every time he's on TV or radio, where he gets the crowd behind him because he's a recovering addict. Because, you know, he's sober now, so that's an applause line for Mike. And Kelly was just so impressed. She just loves Mike so much.
So you have to work on your sobriety every day, or you think about it every day?
Sure. I mean, and there's times when you get, as time goes on, you have a little bit more sobriety under your belt. You start to get complacent every once in a while, but you have to remind yourself that it is a daily battle, and you deal with it, because when you're not thinking about your addiction's in the other room doing push-ups, hitting the heavy bag, getting ready to come back at you. So.
By the way, that's an awesome line, Mike. Do you use that in your speeches?
Is that true? Is your addiction working out?
It is.
I didn't know that.
My addiction's swole.
Wow.
But listen to how much Kelly even is even more in love with Mike now.
Wow, I'm really proud of you, and you're so young. You've got it all together. I'm
74 years old.
Are you?
I have a tremendous esthetician.
You look incredible.
Yes. I exfoliate.
Come on, I
right
exfoliate.
At the end there.
All right, there was a surprise for Mike in that Omar had arranged to send Mike's bodybuilding video from Red, White, and Huge from a few years ago that, Kevin, I believe you shot at the competition,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had to sneak in a video camera because there were none allowed, and I had to sit there for an hour and a half, and no offense to our gay listeners, but it was the gayest event I've ever been at because these guys literally oil each other up and then come out on stage.
Yeah.
And it took an hour and a half for Mike to come out. I was just sitting there hiding my camera, hiding. Finally, he came out and I videotaped him, and he loves that. I think Mike loves the footage of this. I'm just kidding. He hates it. And so we sent it to the Regis show so that they
would
show
it. quite a surprise for Mike when Kelly produced it.
I happen to know, though, that you were, I don't know if you still are, in competitive bodybuilding?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
I liked it. I'm still into exercise, and I still eat right. And believe me, that doesn't make you many friends in a radio studio where guys like
you can do whatever. It's
Jack Daniels and fast food for breakfast. That's like
Hey, that was supposed to be a trade secret, by the way. You're not supposed to be telling people about that.
Sorry,
all right,
about that, guys.
Just because that's how we roll.
Radio ethic, and so I'm coming in with my steamed broccoli and egg whites. It doesn't go over well.
We have B-roll of you in a competition.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
Oh, look at that! Why would you bring that up? First off, wait a second. Why would you put that? That's not me. That's a young Mark Consuelos. Secondly,
that's Kelly's husband. Listen to, by the way, she keeps playing the video over and over again. She loves it so much.
That's also, James Cameron worked on that. That's clearly from Avatar. It's CGI.
Mike comes out.
That should be seen every day on this show.
Nice.
Mike comes out, he's all oiled up, and he's got the smallest bikini bottom possible, and he's doing all kinds of different poses on the
smaller
stage.
I could show you.
And he's like to show off his muscles, because that's what it was. It was a bodybuilding contest. And it was... It's a little embarrassing.
No, I mean, especially for me, it's like, you guys, we talked about it at the time when it happened. Like, I did that as a way to, like, overcome image issues. So, to look back on it, it's like, it's the most mortifying thing in the world. And I also like how you guys had this, like, war room conference on whether or not to send that tape, like, behind my back.
Oh, there wasn't much of a conference.
There was no conference. Omar said, let's do it. We said, yes, we have to.
We have to send it.
All right, we're listening to highlights of Psycho Mike's appearance on the Regis and Kelly Show Friday in New York. Lisa, I brought this clip in just for you because, let's face it, when Mike is pressed, he'll admit that you're his favorite member of the Kevin and Bean Show. And that's why I was so happy to hear the nice things he had to say about you on the air Friday.
Kevin and Bean, and I love him to death. I really do, and I can't believe I'm saying this on
national television. They've been so supportive. They're so great. All the whole crew back there, Ralph and Alex and the King of Mexico and Omar, everybody. They're the greatest coworkers in the world.
Oh, wait. I guess you're and everybody, Lisa. Wow. I guess let's name every single person on the show.
Dave, now, Mike,
Alex, and everybody.
Omar,
now, Mike, at some
Ralph,
point, yep. at some
Kevin,
point when you're listing
Bean.
People,
yes.
Because I know, for me, I'm very different than you.
Yes.
When I start listing, I know I'm not going to get everyone.
Like, I know.
I start getting paranoid. Well, did you think, like,
yes.
I can't leave anyone out?
No, to be dead, this is the God's honest truth. I started listing people, and then in my brain, I'm like, I can't start listing people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on live television. I can't, I mean, this has got to be drop dead boring.
Sure.
I'm naming people they don't know. You know what I'm saying?
So you wanted to end
so
it.
So then
quick.
I was like, oh, God, just, then I started getting, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I started getting flustered. I'm like, oh, God, I'm now listing people that people don't know on live television. This is terrible TV. So I just started throwing out names, and I forgot Lisa. And
the
and
one where I sit across from him, he
that's
looks
true.
At me.
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
three of us
morning.
In the studio
something.
Full
and
time.
And people tweeted me. Immediately.
Oh, my.
I went out this weekend and ran into people that I didn't know that know the show who told me
awesome.
That Mike left me out.
Awesome.
And I was destroyed.
I'll never forgive myself for that because the one person on the staff that will forgive me is Lisa. Yet I won't forgive myself because she's clearly the nicest one and the best human being out of all of you.
Which yeah, I have learned gets you nowhere.
That's why, that's why she came to the top of your mind.
Gets you
that's
nowhere.
Right. And I just flat out forgot. And It was a really, really bad combination of wanting to make sure you name everybody and then getting like
and then realizing
scouring
you shouldn't
your brain
be doing
for,
that.
And then realizing you shouldn't be naming. So it's like I just screwed up and I just hope that Lisa can forgive me. That's the bottom line.
If
I just messed up.
If I were
up.
A mean bitch, he would never have forgotten me.
That's true.
This is by the way, and I am changing my life.
You need to be a mean bitch.
You're probably right because I would have been so scared
yes,
not to name
I
your
know.
Name. That's true. Yeah?
Listen to what Kelly says, by the way, after Mike's talking about all the people he works with because bear in mind, she loves Mike and so wants to have sex with him.
But they love nothing more than a bust my chops.
Yeah,
so
well,
it doesn't surprise me.
Because it's easy to pick on the good-looking guy that can wear the Speedo.
See, hey. I mean, it never stops. All right,
come
I know we're almost
you
out of time.
You cashed that chip in, right?
No, dude.
Come on!
Consuelos was in the house.
So what?
And he rolled by. He's marking his territory. Like he turned
Did
out
he
to
pee
be,
in your green room?
He turned out to be a pretty cool guy, but like when he first turned the corner and introduced himself to me, like there was a bit of a...
Because
like,
you're Consuelos 2.0 because you're the younger, out. Hotter version of her husband.
Right,
that's why.
That's where a real stud goes... He's in the house, and I'm going to take her from
I'm
him
I'm still
anyway.
Going to take her. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let me play one more, because we're almost out of time here. This is Brooke Shields coming out onto the program, who's one of Mike's two guests. He had Brooke Shields, the actress, and Bryan Adams, the singer, as guests, okay? The reason I want to play this is because this has blown up into an international controversy. Here's what the Times of India published yesterday. Actress Brooke Shields apparently showed an outrageously flirty attitude when she made an appearance on live U.S.
What?
Television. Wearing a striking red mini dress, the 45-year-old actress put a touchy-feely display with presenter Mike Catherwood, 14
what?
Years her junior,
Times
who,
India.
Who
why
had
is,
stepped
why
in
is
to
the
co-host.
Times of India covering this?
Dude. I'm huge in Calcutta.
She repeatedly reached out and touched his arm during their interview. So listen, this is when they first meet, and this is when Kelly is like, hey, check this dude out.
So what do you think? Regis looks great, doesn't he?
Regis, what have you done? Who is your doctor?
I just took a vacation.
Mike does an impression.
Thank you.
He does
good.
An impression. And then she needed a new microphone. Something was wrong with her microphone, and we don't have time to play it. But Brooke was just like, hey, if you want to adjust this for me, Mike, come on over here. Whatever you need, could you fix my
Did
mic
you cash
your
in
teeth?
On that chip?
I went down with my teeth to do it, dude. I did. For real, though.
No, I saw you do that. You did.
So apparently it is an international incident, by the way. The article goes on. Host Kelly Ripa then joined Brooke Shields and praises Mike. You're perfect. Absolute perfection, she said. It just goes on.
Why
on.
Are they writing about this in India? That doesn't make any sense.
Sometimes, Kevin, you just got to document pure desire.
There you go. Hey, party people. Thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. Keep listening for your tickets for the Big Four. Talking Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. They're playing one big show Saturday, April 23rd at the Empire Polo Club in Indio. By the way, they're still holding to this is the only North American appearance of this lineup, Kevin.
Yep, so. I know.
Yeah, we're going to wait and see how it goes, Lars told us. I wonder how that's going to go. Probably pretty well.
I would guess so, yeah.
All right, I know that Jason Statham is one of your favorites, Kevin. I know that he's the guy. If he's in a movie, you're going to see it. From The Expendables to Crank to the Transporter movies to War, The Italian Job. It's unbelievable the track record this guy has. And he is back with a new one in theaters right now called The Mechanic. We are always excited to welcome Jason Statham back to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, man? How was your weekend?
Very good, chaps. Thanks for getting me back on.
Sure.
Always a pleasure. It's the thing about Jason Statham movies, and I don't know why I'm telling you this because you're Jason Statham, is I get the impression you really do this stuff. So many of the other movies that you go to, they're all like CGI and green screen, but I get the feeling that you're kind of putting your life on the line every time you make a film.
Well, we try not to put the life on the line, but we try, you know, to do all the necessary stuff to give people their money's worth, you know?
Is that something that you really, really want to do and they have to hold you back sometimes?
Occasionally, yeah. I mean, I've got to do I'd say 90% of everything in what we did in The Mechanic. You know, I did the bridge jump. I did the 300-foot fall outside the building. And then, you know, Ben Foster also jumped into the saddle and did that as well. So, you know, big praise to that man for doing, you know, what's very, very scary.
And did you also kill people? Did that happen?
No.
By the way, you casually mentioned the 300-foot drop off the side of a building. But how does one go about learning how to do that? And why are you willing to do that, Jason?
You can't prepare for that kind of a thing. You know, it's a very technical stunt that has, you know, machinery. And you just have to strap yourself in and go for the ride.
I would have to knock a few back. I would have to be a little liquored up to do that. That would scare me to death.
You'd have to do that one on the slide because they say, you know, there's no drinking on the set.
Right, whatever. I'm jumping 300 feet. I'm taking it.
One in the inside pocket.
Jason, I got to ask you this question. Because of the reputation you have, and by the way, by all accounts, you're the nicest guy in the world and a real pussycat, but by the reputation that you have from your films, from people who know you from your movies, does that ever cause any trouble for you when you're out just for an evening or something where somebody wants to be the tough guy who takes on Jason Statham?
Usually I try and stay away from the little holes that I have, you know, very drunk people in.
Yeah.
I've been quite lucky, you know. I mean, I go out a lot, and hopefully this won't entice people to come and beat me up.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you want as an actor, I imagine.
No.
Fans trying to beat you up. So tell us about, are you a bigger star here or in Britain?
You know what? I have no clue. I have no idea. I know that we make movies in the UK that don't necessarily carry an action budget. And, you know, most of the action films that get made are all done in good old Hollywood. So, you know, all my decent films are made here, apart from the couple of Guy Ritchie movies that are, you know, incidentally, there's a, you know, two or three of my films I've done in the UK have been pretty decent, but they're not sort of action-driven.
Right. Oh, I got you. I guess I didn't know. That was a good question, Kevin. I didn't know whether they have the same appetite for movies like Crank and The Expendables in the UK or in other parts of Europe as they do here in America, where we just love them.
Yeah, I've no clue. I mean, I know from being a Brit myself, it's you know, there's definitely an appetite for that. You know, we create the James Bond franchise,
sure.
So you know, if we haven't got an appetite for action movies, then it's something wrong. But it's just I don't know, we just don't make them.
Just don't make them like that, yeah.
This is the voice of actor Jason Statham on the phone. He had a big, big opening weekend with his new film called The Mechanic in theaters right now. Go see that. You know, all the ladies that we know and the ones especially that work on this show just melt whenever they hear your voice on our program. I can't imagine that there aren't people coming after you to do romantic comedies also, Jason. It seems like you'd have a built-in lady audience for that.
I don't know. Well, the thing about romantic comedies, there's good romantic comedies and there's bad ones.
That's correct.
The last thing I want to be in is a bad one of those.
I know you're a big fight fan.
If someone comes to me with a decent script or, you know, the part sounds, you know, decent, or then obviously things are going to change. But as I said before, I don't want to be in a bad one.
What if the actress is super hot and there's some nudity? Then do you go yes? Because that would swing me right over.
In other words, there could be no script, but if it's right. Minka Kelly, you're in, right?
Right,
that's what you're saying, Kevin?
That's a super hot girl.
You could have your little hip flask and just sign on immediately.
And then I'm like, hey, I don't care if it's good or bad. She's hot. That's how I would make my decision. That's all I'm saying. Hey, I read a story about you and Guy Ritchie. Is it true that you were, like, hustling people on the street? You were a street merchant or something, and he saw you and said, hey, that guy looks like he might be able to... I mean, is that how you were discovered?
Yeah, I used to work... perfume and jewelry for years, ever since I left school. That was what I did. That was
perfume and jewelry on the street.
Yeah, outside Harrods. You know, it's what we call fly pitching.
Is it one of the guys? Were you one of those guys that then had, is when the police come around, you had to roll your stuff up and run?
Yes, that's right.
All right.
How about that?
I love it.
I guess that's where you develop a gift to gab, though. I mean, you got to keep, you know, get people's attention, keep people's attention, and be convincing, I guess. I mean, that's, those are the types of skills that help you when you want to be an actor, I guess.
Yeah, you'd have, you know, we'd have a few people in the crowd. We'd have, you know, stooges placed there with money. We call them ricks. And then we'd have people looking out for the police. So you work with a little firm, a little team.
Did you ever get arrested for that?
I wouldn't be telling you on air.
No. Oh, come on. Come on. I don't know anyone else that's ever been in that business.
We want a rap sheet on the morning radio.
Well, I'm just saying. I just wanted to know if you ever got in trouble for it. That's all.
Look, yeah, we knew he was a good actor. Now we know he's a grifter, too. Yeah, exactly. Well, you are such an awesome dude, Jason. It's always fun to catch up with you on the show. Congratulations on another big successful movie. It is called The Mechanic, and it is an action film from start to finish, folks. Don't miss it. In theaters right now. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Each hour, about this time on The Kevin and Bean Show, all week long, Ralph Garman stops by for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it's Monday. That means we take a look at the big movies at the box office over the weekend. It wasn't a big box office weekend. The number one film only made $15 million, but that was enough money to make the right number one.
Well, everyone wants to stay home and watch the Pro Bowl, man. You can't go out on a big sports weekend like that.
Dude, Pro Bowl looked like arena football. It was awesome.
Did you watch it?
Just I didn't see a second of it. Touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. Final score, I think, was 55-41.
I saw it. It was like really? Combined 100 points.
Awesome. Because you couldn't rush the quarterback. They changed the rules for the Pro Bowl, so nobody gets hurt.
So nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, so...
Can you tackle people, or...?
Yeah, sure, there's tackling.
You just pull the flag.
But you can't rush the quarterback. You can go in and get your hands up, try to block passes, you know, but you can't go in and do the rush, which makes it pretty much... Which you would think would make it harder in the passing game, because it's pretty much one-on-one coverage across the board, you know? You're not rushing five or six guys on the line. You're sending everybody out into coverage,
because you're
only sending three or four guys in off the line to put their hands up there, pretty much. But quarterbacks were just launching the ball, and it was so much fun to watch. Michael Vick started, went for two touchdowns.
That's why you watched, of course.
There was a bunch of Eagles playing, yeah. And Breeze played. I mean, all the quarterbacks who could get picked played, but it was a wild game. It's fun. It's like watching a video game.
Yeah.
You know, it's all your favorite players. Nobody knows really how to play with each other, so it's a little haphazard, but... Yeah, I always watch the
hockey all-star game was 11-10.
That was also on last night. I was watching
that,
too.
Ridiculous.
My boy Danny Briere scored a couple goals. It was a big sports day for me. It was all the all-star games.
They're not allowed to use goalies, apparently.
And then the SAG Awards. So it was a big evening of television for me last night. But The Right with Anthony Hopkins was number one at the box office. No Strings Attached came in at number two with $13.7 million. Then there was a tie between The Mechanic and the Green
That's just
Hornet.
The mechanic.
That's not
just...
what Danny Trejo told me.
But he's not in it.
$11.5 million. King's Speech came in at number five. Then True Grit, The Dilemma, Black Swan, The Fighter, and Yogi Bear rounding out your top ten at the box office. Eva Longoria is officially single, fellas, so...
Let the games begin.
Let the games begin. She is officially divorced from Tony Parker. It was finalized on Friday. And according to her rep, she's happy to be moving on with the business of her life.
Let the romance begin.
Which apparently means getting nailed. She was dressed to get nailed last night at the SAG Awards.
She was dressed for business?
She looked good. She was open. James Franco was also there at the SAG Awards last night. He was, of course, going to be hosting the Academy Awards in February, but is
Let
also...
Let the romance begin.
He's also nominated for an Academy Award for his role in 127 Hours. When asked if he stayed up to watch, when he got up, rather, to watch the nominations, he said no because he refused to ditch classes. He's at Yale.
All right.
And he had a class when they were announcing the Oscar nomination, so he did not see it live, but he heard about it after he got out of class.
Look.
Because class first, Kevin. Education first.
Don't you do everything to get out of school? I mean, if you make it as an actor, don't you go bye-bye school?
He won't stop going to school. He's going to like two or three different colleges right now, right, Ralph?
Yeah.
In all sorts of different degrees.
All right, he's better than us. All right.
Maybe you're I'll do anything to get out of class
policy, Kevin, yes, has something to do with what you took away from college and your English degree.
I did get a degree in English.
That is just...
That's a travesty.
I know we keep threatening to call your school, but it really must be done because
I know
they need to have their accreditation removed. I can't believe they give out degrees.
Kevin will be the first to tell you that he speaks his English good-like.
Good, much goodness all like at the time, him. And we've got a new Superman. As you know, Bryan Singer is no longer doing the Superman movies. They are rebooting the Superman films with director Zack Snyder, who brought us The Watchmen and 300.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's going to be a great film. They've just tapped 27-year-old actor Henry Cavill, who will be the new Superman. You may know him from Showtime's The Tudors, where he played Charles, the Duke of Suffolk.
Charles, I'm not happy with you.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see The Tudors?
No.
This Henry Cavill, he's dreamy. The ladies love him.
They love him.
He's a foreigner, though, right?
He is a Brit.
Yeah.
Good-looking fella, 27 years old, will be taking over the role of Superman in the new movie, due to open in December 2012. So, circle your calendars. But I think it's a good call. So except for the fact he is British. All of our superheroes now, by the way, are British.
So this news is almost 2 years away?
Well, everybody's waiting to see who will get the coveted role of Superman. So that casting is news.
All right.
But now we've got Christian Bale as Batman, Henry Cavill as Superman, Andrew Garfield, who's a Brit, as Spider-Man.
Wow.
We've lost all of our...
All of our superheroes.
All of our superheroes. Captain America's an American. Chris Evans, God love him. But there is a... I'm afraid of a superhero trade deficit. I think there's some... there's an imbalance in our trading with the UK regarding superheroes. So we have to have somebody play Bond. We have to have an American play Bond, just to even things
out. That'll show him.
That'll show him. That Daniel Craig... That's wrong. Why I have that where my
see how easy
heart
that
should
is?
Be. This is, we're moving offices. Everything's going through out the window. I tell you, it's all madness over here now. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Jessica Walter. She is 70 years old. You may remember her as the mother of the Bluth Klan on Arrested Development.
Yes.
Yeah. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols is 55. Guitarist Jeff Hanneman of Slayer celebrates his 47th birthday. Actress Minnie Driver celebrates her 41st. Portia de Rossi, Mrs. Ellen DeGeneres, she is 38 years old.
Also Arrested Development, by the way.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Justin Timberlake, he is 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. Oh, if that sounds like fun, Saturday, April 23rd, the Empire Polo Club in Indio. Then keep listening. We got your tickets this hour on an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Monday.
My man Bean doesn't like people much, and he moved to Seattle and works out of his house. And the reason that he does that is because he doesn't like people much. So, so it always fascinates us because he does love radio, just not us. But anyone else in radio, Bean loves, and has a his social life is crazy. He's got like lunches with like different DJs and stuff. And when he goes to another city, he'll go visit radio stations. And other than that, I mean, I swear to God, his wife would invite people over, and he would call them back and say, "You know that thing that my wife was talking about? It's been canceled." He literally would do that because he just doesn't like to have people around.
Okay,
unless they work at any other radio station.
In my defense,
not this one, but any other radio station.
In my defense, and no, I don't have the Asperger's, but what's wrong with hanging out with people that you have something in common with? I mean, that's kind of how I look at it.
Because you don't hang out with anyone, first of all. And second of all, you don't hang out with us.
Yeah, here's the thing. You are a radio nerd. You are obsessed with all things radio. The only people you care to spend any time with are other radio professionals. But you work with a bunch of people in radio and have no interest spending any time with us whatsoever.
Last Tuesday, I had lunch with my friend BJ, who has his own popular morning radio show
BJ.
In Seattle. And my other friend Greg, who also is a newsman at another radio station.
Right.
And then Friday night, I had dinner with my friend Luke, who has a very popular radio show. And then Wednesday is the day that I'm driving up to Anacortes to go visit the guy who owns The Whale, 1340 AM The Whale in Anacortes, Washington. That's my Wednesday lunch. So I guess you're
why
right.
Why are you doing that? I mean, why would you drive? Where is that? How far is it to go to The Whale?
It's about 80 miles north, I guess, from here. But it's just a station I fell in love with on my trips to Canada. It's an AM station. It just is so wacky that I had to meet the guy who owns it. And so I guess
Ralph Bean went out of his
his way to call the guy and say, I just want to introduce myself. That is the opposite of everything we know about Bean.
What a freak. And when you guys go to do those roundtables and special events and all the radio stations, yes. They're getting interviews,
yes.
You can't find Bean because he's flitting from table to table saying, oh, are you duct tape and halogen from WXRL?
That's correct.
Oh, I love you guys.
That's correct.
I listen to you on the internet.
We have like somebody from,
can I get a bumper sticker?
We have like somebody from Metallica sitting at our table and we're waiting and then we're trying to find Bean. We can't because he's walking around like the bell of the ball.
First of radio all, groupie.
First of all, we can't carry the jockstrap of duct tape and halogen. That's a great show, those guys. Come on. So what? I don't understand what the problem is.
The problem is that
you guys should be happy that I actually do have a social life, though, which is, for years you accused me of not. But I do. I meet people. I talk to people. I hang out with people.
It's a very specific, very small niche, though. For your social life. It really is very, very specific.
And most people in radio are assholes.
That's true.
So why would you want to hang with them?
Or maybe most people in radio on this show are assholes. Maybe the other people outside of this show are pretty nice. You ever think about that, Ralph?
No.
Ralph, here's the thing. They probably don't know much about Bean, so he's going in fresh. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have all the baggage of everybody knowing about him and all of his weirdness.
Hey, that Bean's a pretty nice guy.
Right. That's what they're thinking.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. They don't know.
Yeah, they don't.
So we got a hold of Bean's social diary.
Oh, I can't wait.
What? And we're going to read a little bit from it, if you don't mind. It's Bean's social diary. This is my
Outlook calendar for the month. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think it's clear, Bean. I think it's been set up.
Wait, these are the things that I have on my schedule that I'm correct. Going to be doing?
Right. That's been set up, and we're ready to go.
Dear diary. This afternoon, I'm heading to the malt shop with cleats and the protractor from WGND. Oh, I can't wait.
Now, bagging on cleats and the protractor.
Is this in the past or future? I'm not familiar. All right, let's hear another one. All right, let's hear another one.
Dear diary, today I'm catching high tea with Gutter and the Colon from KNJ Bay.
The Colon. Mike, how are you not the Colon?
Dear diary, can't wait for brunch with Bobby Acetylene from the Knob.
I'd give anything to do a shift on the Knob.
Dear diary, catching the book club today with Stained Glass and the Wombat from K-Chunk. Dear diary, looking forward to the weekend, I've got a potluck with AstroTurf and Turpentine from KLZO. Oh, I wish I could do a shift on that station.
Yeah! Bean, what are you bringing to the potluck? What dish are you bringing?
I haven't thought about it yet. I don't know.
You better get to it.
Dear diary, I'm looking forward to the three-legged race this weekend with me, Yahtzee, and the tanning bed. K-N-N-N. N.
Wait, that's too many N's.
Oh, dear diary. Yesterday I played snooker with Marvelous Marvin Mallet from The Wham. Dear diary. Going to the opening of the new post office with Dr. Hazmat and the Polyp. From K-Ham.
Polyp. I want to be the Polyp. I want to be the polyp.
Dear diary, going on a picnic. It's a lovely day. Can't wait to meet up with Sphincter and the Twist Tie from KNDD.
D.
Dear diary, going to the big reunion from everyone from WIIZ, The Wiz. Can't wait to see Gargles and the Particle Accelerator, Carbuncle and Castor Oil, Wingspan and the Altoid.
I'm very busy.
Dear diary, can't wait for that very formal dinner with nasal spray and the brisket. I hope they invite Jambalaya and the Mulatto along. But I heard they're not getting along with Parcheesi and the syringe from the Fleck.
Now that I hear that, I see why you go out with those guys.
Well, that makes sense.
Good times, right?
Oh, that sounds
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Time to take a look at the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That is our telephone number. You call us, leave a message. It's a voice message box, and we play it back on the radio. Hey, why is David King of Mexico in here?
We're going to get to him in a second. Get to him in a second. First, though.
I mean the Mexicutioner, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember about...
The fear.
But that's when you can't wait no matter what, and it's not good.
Have you ever had the fear...
That is a horrible visual. Why would you call and share that with us?
Here's how I know that wasn't actually real, because you don't call anybody if that's happening.
No, you don't.
You got your hands full, so to speak.
You just feel like your insides are being turned inside out. You're not making time for wacky phone calls to radio.
All right, the King of Mexico is in here because he has decided that he wants to be called the Mexicutioner. After watching a UFC fight last Saturday night, a week ago Saturday night. And then apparently you tweeted about it, and the real Mexicutioner got in touch with you.
Hit me up, yeah.
And said what?
What? He said, you got 10 days, or else, you know, give me a shout out first, or else I'll kill you.
All right, so.
Wow.
So 10 days, so where are we now in that?
I don't know if we're going by business days or full days.
Well,
but
you should find out, he's going to kill you.
I'm going to go business days, you know, I'm making the call, so. Right. We'll go
King of Mexico? Mexicutioner? No, you know who should be called the Mexicutioner? That Rebecca Gayhart. Remember that Noxzema girl? She hit and killed a Mexican.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's dark.
Oh, my God.
That's dark even for our audience.
Wow.
King of Mexico's name should be the Mexicutioner.
All right, now this guy's saying you should have the name. All right. Which is ridiculous, but why do you think he's saying that?
Because I'm awesome. And
because he wrecks chicks, especially Miss Double December winners.
Yeah, there is that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, there is that.
Point.
Hey, King of Mexico, after this, period of time where you get to be called the Mexicutioner and you're forced to stop, do you think that you would technically be excluded from being the Mexicutioner? excluded.
I didn't like that guy's call until the very end. When he excluded. He's very happy with it. All right, let's move on to Lisa May.
Lisa May just did the traffic report, and she said Netwood.
That did happen, and it happens
takes
a lot.
So little.
Mike, I need you to get up Ralph in the after school special.
Okay.
Remember what that was? Okay, that's what this next one is about.
Okay.
So, game's in 2 days. Talk to your team.
Oh, my God.
What happened here? Look, over here. Move. I can't get that to... Sorry, we got machine trouble.
Well-oiled machine over
here.
Here
we go. Now.
Hey, I have a question for Ralph. I'm really interested in seeing the new Red State movie when it comes out. And I was just wondering, I'm a little squeamish with the gory stuff. So, Ralph, does it turn into a bloodbath?
Okay, there you go. Okay, now that's the setup.
Okay.
And then we play Ralph from his after-school special.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
That's the best ever. This guy has an interesting observation.
Hey, have you guys noticed that Ralph is never in the same room when you guys are doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices? When you're actually talking to the animals. Can it be? What?
Yeah, I don't know what you're suggesting, but yeah, he just doesn't want to be a part of the call. That's all, because he thinks it's lame.
Some feedback from Psycho Mike on the Regis Show.
Psycho Mike looks so gay on the Regis and Kelly Show. Hi, puppy.
I don't know. It may be worth looking that gay if every woman in the room wants to have sex with you, because that's apparently that's what it looked like on Friday.
It did, but Mike told us on the phone that he got a lot of the other kind of love.
Oh, yeah, don't get wrong. Tons of guys as well, but there was plenty of ladies showing me love.
Not this one.
Psycho Mike, just shut up. Shut up. I saw you on Regis and Kelly, and you would not shut up. Shut up. Oh, my gosh, shut up. You just talk too much. Shut up.
That is the other side of the coin, which is your job is to stand there and be pretty and not talk. There is that opinion.
I'll try my best not to talk on the talk show next time I'm on.
But you're not the king of brevity, let's be honest.
Sometimes it takes you twice as long to say something it shouldn't. This guy for the song of the day, I believe.
Penis.
Done?
No, I think the Afro line does serve a valuable purpose on our show.
Yes. And it's to remind you not to do drugs.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We are playing hurt in some ways here today because apparently we are spread out among all over the building because the Kevin and Bean offices are moving. Am I right about that?
Well, the office that we've been in for as long as I remember holds like three people. And there are like 10 of us.
Right. So three thin people.
That seems bad, right? Yeah. So we've been complaining. Nobody cared. So finally now they've decided that they can make our office a little bit bigger.
Well, now
much,
they've gotten to the other radio stations who also share this building right. with us. Once they've gotten their Bud Light disco lounge in and their high definition 60-inch flat screens have all been installed, they've gotten around to the utility closet that we sit in and say, okay, we're going to give you another 3 feet of 3 square feet of room.
So there's room for one more skinny person.
They're going to knock down a wall or portion thereof and give us a piece of another room.
So basically,
hey, this is why we had to fire Miss Cleo and bring in Chip. There just literally wasn't room in the room. We need smaller people.
So basically, we had to go through the office and pack everything up and get it out. Now, who knew that we had so much great crap in there? A lot of it promotional material. Mm. Some of it there's no explanation for.
Great crap is maybe overselling. Great,
I'm saying it's
but it's crap.
It's crap.
That. Yes,
it's extreme.
But here's what's going on, and I think this is the important thing: is that the office looked like an episode of Hoarders because it was just stacked from ceiling to floor with junk everywhere you can look. And producer Alex, who's in there as much as anybody, maybe more, is looking at this as an opportunity to really clean house and start with a nice, fresh, right. new office. Every time she says, I want to throw something away, Kevin, the guy who's barely ever in the office, says, no, you're not allowed to throw that away.
That thing's awesome. I love having that around. He said that, and then 8 years later, we finally get, I didn't even know we still had that.
I know the one thing that came up at the end of last week was Alex said we have to throw away or give away the WWE Pimp Cup. Okay, now this is a piece of crap plastic promotional item from the wrestling show, okay? Alex is like, I'm tired of looking at this. I don't want this office. It's just in the way. We don't have room. Kevin's like, no, you have to keep it. It's awesome.
The WWE Pimp Cup.
Yeah.
Really?
Which we got 5 years ago, and you haven't mentioned once.
I didn't know we had
years.
It. I was so excited.
You knew when
to
it
see
came
it.
In.
No, I don't remember.
You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, that's awesome. We have to keep it. You didn't think about it twice over 5 years.
And Kevin, when Alex says to you, fine, if you want the Pimp Cup, it's yours. Take it home. You're like, no, I don't want that.
No,
in my house.
No,
it's
got to stay here.
I want it in
great.
The studio. Come on now. All right, so we have 18 items, and they're all on the wheel, and we're going to give it away. That's basically what's going to happen.
But we realize what we're doing here is our own version of QVC, basically.
Right.
It's like a home shopping network-type show, but instead of selling you products that you can use, we are giving away useless crap.
That's correct, yes.
So instead of QVC, it's KBC.
KB,
Kevin and Bean Crap.
Right, and it's none of it's good.
No.
I can tell you that right now. But if you'd like it, 1-800-520-1067.
And this is the part that always amazes me. These phone lines are going to fill up with people that are getting crap that is worthless that they don't even know what it is.
Listen,
but for free, they will get on the phone and hang on hold.
If I heard about the WWE Pimp Cup, I would call. Can I buy that?
You know what? Off? Go in the other room, call in, and if you win, we'll give it to you. How about that?
Come on now.
So you don't have. There's no contest. There's no game.
Nope.
There's no skill. It's just if you want free crap
yes.
from the Kevin and Bean Crap Network, you call right now 1-800-520-1067 because we're moving everything out of the office and everything must go.
You know
right?
how we give Lisa a present on Christmas or her birthday, whatever.
Whatever's on the screen
at QVC, she gets.
Right.
That's how it is for this radio thing. We're going to spin the wheel. Whatever comes up, that's the crap that you get to take.
And
home.
That was all crap too, by the way.
No, it was not. It was delicious, wonderful things.
Now, should I read the list of things so that people know what they might get?
Sure.
All right, you got the WWE Pimp Cup. You got a shake weight. You got the Reign of Fire promotional fire extinguisher, which was a movie with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey that I don't remember. Flashlight.
It was about dragons. It was about dragons. Remember that? Just dragon movie.
No. Flashlight alcohol breath tester. So it works as a flashlight, but you can also blow into it and see what your alcohol level is. We have that. We have a Webster Spanish English Dictionary. We have binoculars. I don't know why. We have a gumball machine with seven-year-old gumballs inside. We have a Britney Spears Pepsi cardboard stand-up. By the way, that's that's real size right there.
Wait a minute. I might need that.
We have the Obaminator, which is a personal massager in the shape of our president, Barack Obama.
Is it life-size?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Is it a personal massager or is it a personal massager?
It
massages your most personal of areas.
It's the second, I think. I can't tell from your inflection. Okay. Yes. We have a
vibrator.
We have a VHS gift pack. VHS gift pack.
Oh, finally, the VHS is catching on.
Eight-hour VHS tapes with a VHS tape cleaner.
Look, if you're the guy who's still rocking the video recorder at home, this would be a great gift.
We have the Batman Two-Faced Beer Stein.
Sure.
We have Faster Promotional Watches. This is for the movie Faster, starring The Rock, and they go faster than they should. I think we have two of those. We have a 2009 Best On-Air Personality Ralph Garman statue.
Yeah.
To give away.
You can't get that award anywhere.
Who'd you win that from, Ralph?
I don't remember.
We have the Iron Man gift pack, Iron Man action figure, and Slurpee head.
Yeah.
Got that. We have the official NFL Donovan McNabb Eagle player stand.
Yeah.
Just a stand?
No, it's him. It's like a little standee, a little cutout of Donovan McNabb as an eagle.
We have a Batman paperweight.
Sure.
And I'm guessing that we're giving that away. You already have one.
It's a Batmobile paperweight. Yeah, I got that already.
We have the Step Up 3D Mini Personal Fan with laser message blades. And it reads, "Take the biggest step." So Step Up 3D.
Oh, Step Up 3D. I'll autograph it. I'm the star of it.
And we have a skiing piggy bank, and I don't know what that means either. So
say pig on skis. Say piggy bank of a pig on skis.
Okay. Now, I don't know why we kept any of this stuff to begin with, except for that it's all great, but we're just going to go to the line. We're going to spin the wheel, and then
You're watching KBC.
You get what you get. Let's start with Joe. Start with Joe. Hey, Joe.
Yep. How's it going?
Good.
Now, why do you want free crap?
You know what? I heard WWE Pimp Chalice, and that just
That's all you need, right?
That's all I need.
Oh, I hope it doesn't land on that. I want it.
You're watching KBC. Let's spin the wheel and see what you get, Joe. The real
You're
wheel.
Watching KBC.
Binoculars!
Yes! Woo!
All right, that's too bad.
He got some binoculars!
Now, do we know where these binoculars came from? They're not marked with any kind of movie promotion or album or anything like that? Just binoculars?
Joe, you're going to be the envy of all your friends when you take home these spectacular binoculars. Yes, these binoculars have one side that you look into that make things look very, very small. If you look at the other side, the things look very, very big from a far distance. Yes, they're binoculars, Joe. Amaze your friends and family this holiday season by bringing home binoculars. Yes, you've won binoculars, Joe. Congratulations, and thanks for watching KBC.
All right, very well done. Thank you. All right, let's try Stephanie. She's on line two, joining us on KBC, giving away free crap from the office.
You're watching
KBC. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good luck.
You're watching KBC.
Spin the wheel. Wheel of crap.
Gumball machine.
Awesome. Woo.
This is a
Stephanie,
good item.
Do you have any kids at home?
Yes.
Oh, the kids are going to be so happy with the gumball machine, Stephanie. It's a full-size gumball machine that takes coins, quarters, dimes, nickels. Anything will work. And when you get the gumballs, you'll be happy to know they've been in there for about 7 years.
So they're actually jawbreakers.
The gumballs have proved that they can stand the test of time, Stephanie, and so will you when you present your kids with this amazing, fun gumball machine right in your very own home. Usually, you have to go to an arcade, or perhaps even a sweet shop to find a gumball machine of this quality and value. All yours for the low, low price of nothing, Stephanie. You're watching KBC.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
You could have got the binoculars. See?
We just have time for one more. Let's see what Scott wins. Scott is on line three, joining us on KBC. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the program. You ready to find out what free crap you get?
Can't wait.
You're watching KBC.
I think they're listening to KBC.
Oh, the Rain of Fire promotional fire extinguisher.
That is great. That's a good item right there.
You know, Scott, before Christian Bale won any awards for The Fighter, he was fighting dragons in Rain of Fire alongside of Matthew McConaughey.
Who?
McConaughey. This promotional fire stinger promises to extinguish the fire of any dragon or any fire you may have in your own home. If you've got a fire, pull out your Rain of Fire fire extinguisher and extinguish that fire with the Rain of Fire promotional fire extinguisher.
And we can't guarantee that works, right? Because that's an old movie.
And an old fire extinguisher.
Yeah, so I wouldn't make that your primary.
KBC, not responsible for any fires in the
start. I think that's a good disclaimer.
You're welcome. All right, thank you for listening. Listen, we're out of time for now, but we have plenty more items to give away, and I think maybe we try again tomorrow. What do you guys say?
The pimp cup still on the wheel. I love
That's right.
I love it. Shalom! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:56.
In case you're wondering, that was Kevin's personal pick for the hour of the music here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got passes to give away. Very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cedar Rapids. This is a new comedy. It was a smash hit at the Sundance Film Festival a couple weeks ago. Great cast. I've seen the trailers for this. It looks really, really funny. Ed Helms stars. You know him from The Office.
Love him.
He plays an insurance salesman who has to go on the road to a conference. And he is sort of a... he's led a sheltered life. And this insurance conference really sort of broadens his horizons, let's say. He is taken under the wing by John C. Reilly, who is just always funny. Sigourney Weaver also stars. Anne Heche, Rob Corddry, our buddy Rob's in it. Stephen Root, who I got a chance to work with on Red State, is just a great, great guy and very, very funny. Just an amazing cast. It is all happening on Thursday, February the 10th, if you'd like to go. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through, we got a pair of passes for our advanced screening. And if you don't get through, don't worry, because the movie's in theaters everywhere on February 11th, the very next day, so you can check it out. But I'm looking forward to this one enormously. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? It is Monday, so we look at the big movies from the weekend. The Right, the new film with Anthony Hopkins, and its debut made $15 million, good enough to make it number one at the box office. No Strings Attached came in at number two. Then there was a tie between The Mechanic in its debut weekend and Green Hornet. Both made a little over $11 million. Then The King's Speech came in at number five. True Grit, The Dilemma, Black Swan, The Fighter, and Yogi Bear rounding out the top ten at the box office. New Superman. Actor has been cast to play maybe the greatest superhero of all time in the brand new movie about Superman and Clark Kent. His name is Henry Cavill. He is a British actor, relatively unknown, unless, like me, you were a fan of Showtime's The Tudors, then you remember him as Charles, the Duke of Suffolk. He's dreamy handsome, all the ladies love him, and he's going to look good in the suit, I think.
It's got to be weird. He's got to be telling himself over and over, I am freaking Superman.
I'm so glad that they went this route and picked an actor who is accomplished. I mean, the guy's worked a bunch, but isn't a star. So this way, when he puts on the cape and the tights and everything, you say, oh, that's Superman on the screen. You don't say, oh, that's
Tom Cruise.
That's Johnny Depp trying to be right, Superman. Right. So I think it's a good call. I think he'll be good in it. Speaking of Johnny Depp, Johnny's next film is based on an old, this is going to sound odd, but there used to be a horror movie daytime soap opera on ABC called Dark Shadows.
A horror movie daytime soap opera.
Right. It was a gothic horror daytime soap opera.
That's weird.
Very popular, right, Ralph?
Called Dark Shadows. It was very popular back in the late 60s, early 70s, I guess. And he is playing the lead vampire in the movie based on this soap opera named Barnabas Collins. And so in order to get into the role, you know, Johnny's very serious about looking right for the part. He's on a serious diet. He wants to lose as much weight as he can. He said he wants to play this role at 140 pounds.
What does he weigh now?
Well, he's not a big guy. I can imagine he's probably coming in about 165, 170, but still, that's a lot of weight to lose.
Yeah.
He's going to look not too intimidating, I think, at 140. At 140, he's going to look a little light in the loafers.
Huh.
He says he's slimming down by drinking tons of green tea and eating low fructose fruit like pineapple and strawberries. Mike, does that sound like a good weight loss plan to you?
Sounds like a very good plan. Right.
That is Psycho Mike approved.
Very good. Pony Puffs cookie.
He's meatballs.
I don't know what happened to Mike in New York. He's coming back a little worse for wear. And I just want to give the heads up to the ladies out there. Ladies, you know I'm looking out for you. The call has come from the Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth areas. They have a desperate stripper shortage.
What?
Strippers. They are in desperate need of strippers. Lisa. Turns out...
A lot of people here need a job.
That's where I'm going.
Turns out that the clubs surrounding the Super Bowl, they're expecting about 300,000 visitors that weekend, and they don't have enough strippers to work all the shifts that they need. One gentleman tells TMZ.com, that he's got 50 girls under his employ currently at the Showtime Cabaret right there near the big stadium. But he needs at least another 100, 120 girls to carry over the weekend, the big Super Bowl weekend.
Let me ask you a question about being a stripper. Can I see your boobs?
So 10,000 strippers needed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
10,000?
If you're looking for to make some extra cash, I suggest you get your ass down there because they're looking for 10,000 extra strippers this weekend.
Awesome.
At 10,000 strippers, expecting 30,000 visitors, that's a 30-to-1 ratio football fan to strippers.
Hello, Poon.
One stripper for every 30 fans. So I think that
works
out.
I guess every club will be open 24-7 for the whole weekend, right? Yeah. So you need a lot of girls.
When, you know, when Kevin's down there making it rain, we'll make sure you got a good selection of girls to pick from. Hey.
I'm in the part of the bus. All the girls come on my part of the bus.
Those girls need to support themselves, too.
I am like the Charlie Sheen of radio. I want to start a porn house where everybody lives as a family. With cookies and granola bar. Yes, I have a granola bar.
How did this turn into mocking me?
I need to drink some water. I would like some water. He's got all his open waters and I can't get one water.
Kevin, start drinking again, will you please? Heavily. Right. Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Walter. You know her from Arrested Development. She is 70 years old. I think she's got a new sitcom on TV Land with George Siegel. Yeah. Called Retired at 35, I think it's called. From the network that brought you Hot in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols.
Hey, hey, my, my.
No, that's not that song. What was the Johnny Rotten song Neil Young used to sing?
That's the one.
Is that the one? Yeah.
Johnny Rotten is mentioned in the lyrics, yeah. Right.
55 years old today. Jeff Hanneman of Slayer is 47. Yeah. Minnie Driver, who is very good in that new movie, Barney's
Hello,
version.
Hello, Poon.
Hi there. She is 41. Portia de Rossi, Mrs. Ellen DeGeneres. Now, there's
Hello,
your Hello, Poon now. Exactly.
Yeah.
38. And Justin Timberlake celebrates his 30th
Hello,
birthday.
Hello, Poon. So
he does not have
No, but there's a lot around him.
That's true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, next hour, we've got all sorts of highlights, if you want to call them that, of Psycho Mike filling in for Regis Philbin on the Regis and Kelly Show. He flew to New York and actually sat in the chair next to Kelly Ripa last Friday. Did not bring out any Ripa and the Taran jokes, by the way.
Yeah, I know, he failed.
But I did want to play this clip one time because I know it makes Lisa so happy. as Mike was naming all of his friends that work here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Lisa, a special shout-out for you on national television.
Kevin and Bean,
yes.
And I love them to death. I really do, and I can't believe I'm saying this on national television. They've been so supportive. They're so great. All the whole crew back there, Ralph and Alex and the King of Mexico and Omar, everybody. They're the greatest coworkers in the world.
Wait, that's everybody except for...
Wait a minute. So there was Alex.
Yes.
Right. And there was Dave.
Ralph.
Uh-huh.
Dave.
Omar.
Yeah. Yes.
Omar.
Ralph. Right. There was no... I didn't
Kevin
hear Lisa.
Kevin Bean.
I'm
really,
sorry.
Just everyone he could possibly have named in this building except for me.
They edited out Charles the security guard. I mentioned him.
Chip. I'm sure right? Chip was
I
in there.
I thought it was live.
Yeah. They had time to roll it back and dump it.
Because he said, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Lisa. Cut that out.
Yeah. didn't mean to rub it in, Lisa. I was thinking
I
that
he
loved
everyone.
You.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank
she
you.
Is
thank
everyone. You. Anyway, listen to Kelly Ripa and guest Brooke Shields just fawning all over Mike when we have highlights for you coming up in about an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, I'm bad, and I have to tell you why. you know how when you eat a jawbreaker, there's that you keep it in your mouth for a while, and then there's that point where it gets to where you can actually chew it?
Right.
You can chew the jawbreaker?
Yeah.
I guessed wrong on that time and broke my tooth last week.
Oh, dude.
I thought, hey, I could actually, you know, chew it now. This is half my
broke
in my
a tooth on a jawbreaker.
Yes.
Well, they warned you. They called it a jawbreaker.
It is called the jawbreaker.
Before you put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, half
by the
my...
way, what do you eat?
That's
who's
what I was
who's
thinking.
Eating jawbreakers at your age?
Jawbreakers are great.
For children?
No, they're fantastic. What's wrong with you?
You're running around in your short pants eating jawbreakers. I want to get you a hat with a propeller on it. You need like a beanie and a pinwheel and just a big balloon, like a helium balloon to carry
That's
around.
That's not the point. The
you're
point
a,
is...
You're a retarded child.
The point is that now I have a broken tooth, and now I have to call the dentist, who I haven't seen in way, way, way too long, like a child. Like, I just... I don't go to the dentist.
When you had to leave your house, did you have to stop playing Slinky on the stairs?
So on my way into work, I call the dentist's office and I say, hey, I'm really sorry to do this. Is there any way you can squeeze me in? And now I feel like an a-hole because, you know, they set up cleanings and stuff and I don't show.
You don't call?
No.
You just don't show.
Sometimes I don't. And then, so now I feel like an ass because now I'm calling and forcing my way in on a day, right? So they say, yeah, we can squeeze you in if you could be here at, you know, 11:30. That's fine. And so I was like, oh, thank God.
So they're going out of their way to make nice yes. for you, even though you're not a good patient.
Not at all, no. And I always, every time I go, I always hear about it. It's always, hey, it's been a while. Yeah, you should probably come back more often. Hey, we need to see you a little bit more. They always like rub it in, right? Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, I just got to get this fixed, and then I'm gonna, you know, I'll just deflect the we haven't seen you in a while. So I get there. I have to use the GPS because I haven't been in a while. So I get to the dentist's office and I walk in and they've remodeled. So my first thought was, don't mention the remodel because I don't know. Maybe they did it a year ago.
Right.
And I haven't been there in so long. If I bring it up, that'll be their entree into mocking me.
It's an indicator you haven't been in that office in some time.
Right. So I sit down and I wait. And I don't want to be pushy because I'm the a-hole now trying to force my way in. So I wait and there's no one at the front desk. And so I wait for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And then I start thinking, well, maybe is there a bell, you know, a little bell or something? Again, I don't want to be an a-hole, but I just want to let them know I'm here. Mm-hmm. And 30 minutes goes by, and wow. then finally a woman walks up to the front desk that I don't recognize, and I think, oh, so she said, what are you doing here? And I said, I have an appointment to see the dentist. And she said, which dentist? And I gave her the name, and she said, oh, he's two offices over. And this was not in a hallway with a bunch of doors. This was storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
Two storefronts over. So I was in the wrong dentist office for 30 minutes.
And now,
making me now late.
Yes.
For your other appointment that you demanded they give
to you. For the appointment that they squeezed me in on.
Oh. So generously.
So they hadn't remodeled the office at all.
Not at all.
You were in the wrong office.
For 30 minutes. I sat in the wrong dentist office.
Whose car did you steal to drive down there to be in the wrong office?
Well, see, that's my question.
This is not a new phenomenon with you, Kevin. When we had a Valentine's Day singles party, we invited the listeners to come down and hang out and meet someone on Valentine's Day, and we had it at the legendary Roxy Club on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood. And we were all there waiting for Kevin, and he walked in and said, yeah, I was at the Whiskey. I was at the Whiskey a Go-Go this whole time, looking for you guys, wondering where you were.
I was mad at you, by the way, too, because you wouldn't, like, send somebody out to look for me or something. No one cared that I was late, and, you know, and then I was like, I'm in the wrong place.
And this, by the way, was after, remember, Ralph, we had been on the air for a week giving away tickets and talking about the fact that it was at the Roxy.
It was called Love on the Rocks, was the name of the party.
I don't pay attention a lot.
How do you live, is what I want to know. How do you get to places and do things and do the stuff that we all have to do just to survive?
All right. Now, see, we have one call, and this is what I was hoping, is that there are other people like me, because everyone here looks down on me for that.
Because that's dumb. That's not the way we don't look down on you. We just feel sorry for you.
So if this has happened to you and you have gone to the wrong place, by the way, I don't even know that I told you guys that I drove to Staples Center for a Laker game that was away. I did that one time.
And you were supposed to be in Orlando?
And it was an away game, and there was no one in the parking lot, and I was like, I hate this.
Did you think you had tickets to an away game?
Yes.
No, I thought it was a home game.
Right, but you knew you didn't have tickets for it, right?
I don't really
You're
going to
get tickets when you get down there?
Yeah, I was just going to buy tickets from Scalper or something. I don't know. I don't know what goes through my mind.
Literally, how do you live?
I don't pay attention is my problem.
Do you take your wife's hand when you cross the street?
Sometimes.
Does she just run your life?
Sometimes
she just tells you where to go and what
but
to
I
do.
But I can't be the
pins
only
notes
one.
To your shirt when
I
she sends you out.
I can't be the only one that this happens to.
Well, you should be, though.
I mean, it doesn't happen to Lisa.
Yeah, no, it does.
It does.
Occasionally.
Okay.
Like, I was meeting a friend for lunch at a chain restaurant.
Yes.
She was in Burbank. I was in Studio City.
All right.
City. We
See?
Just waited
We're
and
all
waited
the same.
And
but
waited.
It was the same restaurant.
It was the same
two
restaurant.
Different restaurants in the same chain.
Yeah.
But we're all the same. See,
it's
Lisa?
Not all the same.
Yes.
No. It's not like going to Italian. I'll meet you at this Italian restaurant and you go to a Mexican food place.
Have you never gone to the wrong place?
No. I know where I'm going. I find out where I'm going and then I go there.
Someone has to be like me. That's yes. my point.
People who wear helmets who are in danger of running into walls.
I need some support because I'm being mocked pretty hard on the dentist thing. And 1-800-520-1067, if you're the type of person who maybe is not paying close enough attention to the details.
How do you leave the house without knowing the address and name of your dentist that you're going to?
Oh, I had the address. And then I had to park.
You couldn't have. If you went in the wrong door, you didn't have the address.
I had the address, and then I had to park. So then once I start parking.
You didn't tell me you had to park. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had to park the car.
Then the address goes out of my head. That's gone then. So now I just see a dentist office, and I walk in. I just figure that's the one. And so then I sat there for 30 minutes. But that really did, like, now I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, wow, there's something very wrong with me.
Yes, that's what we've been saying.
But there's got to be other people.
It doesn't make things not wrong with you.
No, but I'm there. I have to have some company is what I'm saying.
Wow. Right, but lots of people have cancer. It doesn't mean you have cancer any less. That's what we're saying, is it doesn't matter what other people are doing. You're in trouble,
but
dude.
But I'm saying I'm not the only one, so then I don't feel so bad.
But you're looking for phone calls from people like you. Anyone who calls into our show thinks they're calling the Ryan Seacrest show. So it doesn't really matter even if people call in now. Okay. They're going to be wrong. All right, here's the number, toll free, and please write this down. Don't trust yourself to remember all these crazy numbers. 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll free number. Are you like Kevin? Do you show up at the wrong place? You never know where the hell you're going.
I had to park. So information leaves my brain, half park.
30 minutes I sat in the wrong dentist's office. 30 minutes.
There's a dentist, it must be mine. I go in.
All right, we'll take your.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about America's favorite soap opera that is Charlie Sheen and other stories going on. Right now, though, we're talking about our man Kevin, who we're frankly starting to worry about.
I'm starting to worry about me.
First of all, he injures himself on food. He gets hurt eating, first of all.
It was a jawbreaker.
I broke my tooth with a jawbreaker. I mistimed it. I thought it was time to chew.
Second of all, he drives down to what he thinks is his dentist's office. Turns out he sits for 30 minutes in the wrong office waiting for his dentist
to
come
out. Information left my brain.
So we're looking for Kevin's people. You're the type of person who maybe doesn't pay very close attention to the world around you and ends up showing up the wrong place at the wrong time.
I forgot to tell you, when I went to the X Games and left my key in my car and left my car running in the parking lot and went.
Yeah, left the car running for the entire time he was there. The car was running with the keys in.
That happened. All right.
Let's talk to Sam real quick. Sam is on line 4. Sam is definitely one of Kevin's people. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, big fan, long time him. At 5:45 at LAX for a flight out of Orange County at 7:00. It was good time. Even booked a hotel room in LA so that, you know, we didn't have to get up early because we live about 5 miles from Orange County.
So you really had no idea where you were going.
No idea at all.
Were these tickets booked for you by someone else?
The tickets were booked, and it was through my wife's company. So she was like, hey, you know, we'll save some time. We'll just get a hotel room, get a sitter. That way we can...
it's your wife. Blame it on your wife. Early. Good. I should have thought of that.
It was a group effort.
I should have thought of that.
You never bothered to look at the tickets.
I did not, no.
I should have thought of that. My wife gave me the wrong address.
There you go.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you, Sam.
I'm glad these people are calling in. I want to keep all the numbers because you all should be rounded up and put in some sort of camp. Let's try Jesse. Jesse is on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jesse, why are you one of Kevin's people?
Hello? Turn down your radio.
I should have handled that.
Hello?
That's
we're definitely one of Kevin's people.
That is one of my people.
They told me to turn the radio, but I would have to park. I forgot to turn the radio.
All right, he's not going to work out.
What a surprise. Kevin's people can't operate.
Let's try Ryan on line 1. Ryan, please keep your radio turned down. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Here we go.
Hey, Ryan.
Kevin's people.
All right.
Kevin's
people are unbelievable. 10 years ago, after the Offspring released the Americana album, I was the biggest Offspring fan. Dexter Holland was basically my god back then. Mm-hmm. They were given 2 shows at the Universal Amphitheater, one on a Friday night, one on a Saturday night. Me and my friend bought tickets for the Saturday night show, and so we thought. So I go Saturday to go pick up the ticket from his house. I look at the ticket, and my heart sank into my stomach, and I go, oh, my God, these tickets were for last night's show. So we completely missed the show, We were basically crying. We drove over with his mom to the box office of the Universal Amphitheater.
You don't understand. I'm the biggest fan.
The biggest fan. That's exactly. We explained that to them. The guy was sympathetic. He had a kind heart. He's like, well, you had these seats for last night. I can't give you these seats, but the only thing I can do is give you pit tickets.
Oh.
That worked out just fine for me, so it ended up being the best mistake.
No,
I
you're ever. So that's the lucky. Problem.
No, we should not reward that's Kevin's so, people.
Hey, how dare you?
We should not give them things that are a
he
bonus
didn't do
on
it on
top
purpose.
Of their stupidity.
It was a mistake.
But you're a moron if you don't know what night you're going to a concert.
All right, thank you, Ryan, for the call.
If you can't read, people shouldn't be, society shouldn't reward you with free stuff. That's what you're
the
saying,
The guy at
right,
the counter should have said, oh, you came the wrong night. Here, drink this poison, is what he should have said, instead of giving you pit tickets.
All right, let's go to Andrea, and then I think this is going to have to wrap it up. My people are out in force. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What happened?
Okay, so my husband and I attended a wedding, the same location, the wrong day. We got all dressed up. We drove all the way out to Malibu from Hollywood. We're hanging out at the wedding. The judge who married us was the judge who married them, came over, said hello. And then somebody came over and politely asked us to leave. Apparently, they didn't have any black friends because my husband's black. Obviously noticed that we were out of place. And the worst of it is we had to go home, go to bed, wake up the next day, get all dressed up in the same clothes, and go back to the place to go to the real wedding.
That's,
oh, man.
I think that's worse early. Than any of mine.
Didn't it dawn on you when you're at the wrong wedding that you didn't know anybody at that wedding?
How long did it take for you to really realize we're here the wrong day?
When they came up and asked us to leave.
They didn't realize. Someone had to tell them.
They would have sat there all night.
Yeah.
We were hungover. Granted, we were really hungover from the night before.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That's good. It was my wife's fault, and I was hungover. That's
looking
awesome.
Around, you know.
I've also gone to the dentist. I went there, and I was in the wrong. They had moved their office, and I hadn't been there in so long that they went to the wrong office.
Yeah, but see, that's. Move.
But at least it was right at one time. Kevin's office was never right ever in his life.
All right. Thank you for the call, Andrea.
Come on now. She went to the wrong wedding and had to go back. That's the worst. You got to get all dressed up. She's worse than me.
No.
Yeah, come on.
No one's worse than you.
Andrew's worse than me and her
husband.
You're all
in the same ballpark, but you're the king.
Come on.
Mondays on the Kevin and Bean Show, we like to catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And, of course, don't forget TMZ Television, which you can only see now, I understand, 6 times a day in some cities around the country, which is
correct.
Not enough. I gotta be honest about that.
When are you going to start a full-time just channel, Harvey, where it's just you all the time?
No, but what we're doing is it's just kind of creeping in. And one day you'll just look and say, huh?
Huh? Yep, when did this
that's
happen?
That's right. So, Harvey, when things start to slow down, and there are some weeks where there's not a lot going on with the celebrities, you just have to go, that's all right, we'll be fine, because Charlie Sheen eventually is going to surface again and do something for us. And Charlie Sheen is money right now, isn't he? He's just he's creating so much content for you.
Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. But we've been saying this for a long time, because it really kind of got dark, and, you know, he was Good Time Charlie, and he kept showing up in the set, and he was doing okay, but it's been out of control. So,
yeah.
You know, the whole thing, 5 porn stars in the house, partying, lots of cocaine there. He was out of his head, and now he's in rehab. So the latest thing is we found out the show is going to be down for eight episodes. That's a lot of money, guys.
Wow.
A lot of money. And so the issue right now for a lot of the crew, they have 300 people on this show. The issue for the crew especially is, what the hell are they going to do? Are they going to get paid? So when Charlie went into rehab a year ago, during the whole Aspen thing, and they were down, the crew was partially compensated. They didn't get everything, but they got something. So the issue is, what are they going to get now?
From who? Did they get it from Charlie Sheen or from the...
From the studio.
Studio, okay.
And the question now is, what's going to happen? Because a lot of these people, you know, they don't make a lot of money, and they kind of live hand to mouth, and now the issue is, all of a sudden, they were counting on money that they're not going to get. So we're told the studio is going to meet with the producers and I guess CBS, and they're going to come up with some kind of a plan, but it's unclear what they're doing. But that's a big thing that they're dealing with.
Of course.
Right now.
Now let me ask you this, and I know this may cause for I'm asking you for an opinion here. You may not know the answer to this, but Charlie only goes to rehab when he's forced to, back against the wall, the network insists kind of deal, right? There's never a time where Charlie wakes up and says, I've got a problem, because the impression I get is that he seems to think that he can do all this partying and still show up for work and get it done, right?
I actually can answer this.
Oh, good.
You're absolutely right. And that's the problem. I mean, look, the problem is this. He is really functional, and he is... unbelievably, his constitution must be unbelievable.
His tolerance
must
be super high.
And he comes back, and he hits his lines. The shows are great. He pays for his bills. He pays for his kids. And, you know, his position is, I'm having fun, and I don't have a problem. So it's not that one day he suddenly woke up and said, oh, I have a problem. I mean, that does happen to some people. But this was where, you know, so much came out that I think the studio and probably CBS said, hey, something's got to give here, because this is heading for disaster, and we don't want that to happen.
And isn't it interesting, by the way, because there's a lot of backlash on celebrities for bad behavior. And some of it, like with Mel Gibson or Jesse James, you understand where it's coming from. But we don't. It doesn't seem like the American public has any problem with Charlie Sheen's lifestyle. The show does nothing but get more popular every year. People don't say, I'm not going to watch that guy because he buys hookers and does drugs all the time.
Well, I mean, part of it is that Charlie is kind of an open book. And so it's not like Charlie's projecting something that he isn't. I mean, he is what he is. And it's not like any of this, I mean, is this a surprise to any of you guys?
No.
No.
Unfortunately.
No, you know, I mean, he is what he is. It's the character in the show. The show's incredibly popular. He's a likable guy, and he has a problem. I mean, look, Charlie Sheen has a problem. He's a really nice, likable, talented guy with a big problem. So, you know, it's not like he did, you know, he pulled a Mel Gibson. He's being Charlie. Yeah, he's been Charlie. So he's going to rehab, we found out, for 3 months. And now the issue is, can he really stay there for 3 months if he's not really committed to it? Because that is a long time.
Well, if he's being made to go, I doubt it. Right?
Well, I think that's, you know.
I mean, we've talked to Dr. Drew 1,000 times about this and this kind of rehab. And he'll tell you it doesn't matter who made him go or whatever. It can work.
If you want it to.
If you want it to, or right. You can learn to want to, or whatever. You know, maybe they can get a hold of him while he's there. Who knows?
But that's a long time to go without drugs, Kevin. That's the point.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Well, but even drugs aside, it's a long time to go when you don't think you have a problem.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the thing. That's the thing. And that's why, it's a wild card, and there are a lot of nervous people. Look, you know, I guess we can talk about, you know, this openly. You know, the studio, the network, the producers, everybody's afraid for Charlie's life.
Yeah, of course.
And this is about, you know, this is not about, okay, let's see how long he can go before something tragic happens. They're trying to do something to prevent something tragic from happening. And it's unheard of for a show to go down for 8 weeks like this. But I think they realize it's such a popular show that if they just do nothing, they're going to have a disaster on their hands eventually.
Right.
And I think that's what they're kind of dealing with right now.
And for folks, and I know there are many in the audience who don't ever watch Two and a Half Men, you should know it's one of the two or three biggest shows on television. I mean, it is a monster.
And it's pretty much all him, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the star. He's the draw.
He's the star, but you know what? It's a great ensemble show. It really is. It's a great. It's just a funny, funny show. And you know, it's gold for the network. It's gold for the studio. And you know, Charlie makes a fortune. John Cryer makes a fortune. But you know, it's on the line now.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question, Harvey. Then, unfortunately, we are out of time. We're talking to Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. What kind of bad luck does this dude have that every hooker he hires has to go blab to you and the media? Whatever happened to the, hey, I'll write you a big check, you have sex with me, do drugs with me, and then shut the F up? What about some discretion from these ladies?
Well, yeah, I know. He even wrote a big check, and she's still talking. It's like,
yeah.
She went on Good Morning America today, and the only difference between, and which was kind of funny. I mean, she's on Good Morning America now, and they're booking her and everything else.
Yeah.
But she, you know, the only difference was she was kind of sober on this one.
Yeah. Now, she's the one that tried to cash the $30,000 check, right?
Well, she cashed it.
She cashed it. And the bank.
She cashed it. They called in. Now, here, look, just one quick thing. Here's the problem. One of the problems. There's this dude named Rick, who is his assistant. He came on board in summer of last year.
Right.
And he was a guy that Charlie partied with a long time ago when Charlie was having big problems. He went away. And then Charlie kind of got better. Rick came back and Charlie went off a cliff, literally.
Yeah.
And so he's wearing this T-shirt yesterday.
I saw that.
You see that?
Yes.
With Coke?
Enjoy Coke, it says. But it's a Coca-Cola shirt, but it just says enjoy Coke.
I mean, right. Come on.
And hilarious.
But he is somebody that they're tearing their hair out over, behind the scenes, because suddenly he comes back and Charlie's having all these problems. He was at the hotel at the Plaza when the Katrina Anderson thing happened.
Right.
He was at the house last week when this all happened. So this guy is somebody that has been real problematic for a lot of people around him.
Well, there's plenty more to unfold on this story. And, of course, TMZ.com and TMZ Television will have this covered. Also, Jason Davis back in rehab and all the other stuff that's going on in the world of celebrities. Harvey, you do a fantastic job down there in the newsroom, man. We appreciate your time on the show today.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you. Bye, Luis May.
Bye.
Okay. And they built a giant wooden horse, and they knocked at the gate and said, this is a gift for America, and they rolled it in. All these Mexicans came out.
This is true. Well, I'm telling you, it's true. We will discuss that story. We've got an insider audit coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Devine Show. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Screen Actors Guild Awards were given out last night. A pretty good indicator of the Oscars yet to come. Four movies, the best performance by a cast in a motion picture was The King's Speech. Well-deserved. An amazing cast and a really good film.
They don't have that category in the Oscars, though,
they
right?
don't. Cast? No, they just give out individual acting awards. But the SAG being an actors, you know, union, they try to include the best ensemble cast in different media, including comedies. For example, the best ensemble cast in a television comedy was the cast of Modern Family. Best ensemble cast in a drama series was Boardwalk Empire. The individual roles went like this. Colin Firth won for The King's Speech. Natalie Portman won for Black Swan.
Oh. That's what I'm talking about.
She looks even looks good pregnant last night. She had a little baby bump rocking, and she was very, very hot. Steve Buscemi won for Best Drama Series Male Actor for his work in Boardwalk Empire. Outstanding performance by an actress in a drama series went to Julianne Margulies for her role on The Good Wife. Melissa Leo won Best Supporting Actress in a drama for her work in The Fighter. Alec Baldwin won for male actor in a comedy series. Betty White won for female actor in a comedy series.
Please.
For her smash hit Hot in Cleveland. Al Pacino won for best actor in a movie or TV miniseries. Claire Danes won for Temple Grandin for the same category. And Christian Bale won for best supporting actor in a drama. His role is Dickie Eklund in The Fighter. Here's the thing. Mark Wahlberg's a bit of a prankster.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you see The Fighter?
Yeah. Loved it.
You know, it's based on Irish Mickey Ward, the boxer, and his half-brother, Dickie Eklund, who is not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Right.
Not exactly has all his faculties.
Seems like he's been hitting the head a lot, too.
Taken a lot of punches and done a lot of heroin.
Yeah.
And drank enormous amounts. He's killed some brain cells.
Yeah.
So Wahlberg says to him, you know, if Christian Bale wins this thing, you got to go up on stage, too. That's how the thing works.
Right.
So Christian Bale gets up on stage, and boy, was he surprised when Dickie Eklund just stumbles out from the wings on the
practically
stage.
Tackles him.
Yeah, how do you like me now? Yeah, how you doing? Good work, Christian. Yeah, congratulations.
That's great.
And Christian Bale's looking at him like, yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy I played. And now what do I do with him? He's like, all right, thanks, mate. And they kind of pushed him off stage. It was very awkward.
Hey,
very
it's distracting.
Yeah, that's what he said. You're distracting me when you're up there. Let's take a look at the weekend's hot movies. The Right was number one at the box office this weekend with $15 million. New spooky movie about exorcism starring the spooky Anthony Hopkins. Nobody does spooky like he does.
Yeah,
frankly.
He's pretty good at it.
Everyone knows him from Silence of the Lambs, but he also made another movie before he kind of broke big with that film called Magic. Based on a guy who was a ventriloquist, whose dummy starts to tell him what to do.
All right.
That is a creepy
movie. That sounds creepy.
You got to check that out when you get a chance. No Strings Attached was second at the box office, and a tie between The Mechanic and The Green Hornet, each making $11.5 million this weekend. The King's Speech was fifth. True Grit, The Dilemma, Black Swan, The Fighter, and Yogi Bear rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. And congratulations to Henry Cavill. I will learn how to say his name by the time it's all said and done. It's either Cavill or Cavill. Either way, he is a 27-year-old British actor. He has been tapped to play the new Man of Steel, Superman. He'll put on the red cape and the tights and be flying around before you know it. The movie's going to be out in December of 2012, but it was a big question mark as to who would get a chance to play this much-coveted role, and now we know. Zack Snyder will be directing, and this means that all of our superheroes are now British.
All of them, huh?
Batman's a Brit, Superman's a Brit, Spider-Man's a Brit.
Wow.
And Iron the whole bike. Thor's an Aussie. Iron Man's a... He's English. I mean, he's American.
No. He's American, yeah. I guess the hope here is they're trying to reboot Superman, and maybe this one will stick, and they'll actually get a franchise out of it, which did not work last time they tried it.
No, Bryan Singer tried it in 2006 with Superman Returns with Brandon Routh and Kate Bosworth. Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor in that movie. It wasn't good. So they're going to try again.
Didn't leave the audience clamoring for a sequel.
Can't believe Psycho Mike didn't get at least an audition. Who better to play Superman than our own Man of Steel?
See that bodybuilding footage on Regis and Kelly on Friday?
That was awesome.
Looking pretty good in that Speedo there. That orange skin. He couldn't I don't know where happier. He got that color, that, by the way, that skin color. Where do you, oh, get,
they,
where do you get that?
They rub lotion
that?
On him.
Do they sell that at the,
yeah,
the
they
event?
They painted him.
That is a unique color that only, I think, who's the head of the majority now in the Congress? John Boehner?
Yeah.
He's that orange, and then bodybuilders are that orange. It's hard to find. And Snooki. Yeah. Okay.
Mike was saying on the Regis Kelly show that some of the bodybuilders use actual Pam, the vegetable oil cooking spray. On their bodies, on those competitions.
That's true. Just to oil up, though, right? Not for the color.
Not for the tan, but to oil it, they actually see them back in spring.
Yeah. It's a magical world.
It really is.
Bodybuilding subculture.
A lot of lube involved in bodybuilding.
Yes, there is. Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Walter is 70. How come you didn't pull out any of that stuff for Regis and Kelly, by the way? We get all the noise and stuff. You're all like polite with a tie on and being very conversational and very sort
acting
of
like an adult.
Acting like a grown up on their show. What how come we get the worst, they get the best? I don't understand
I see it the other way around. I'm giving you the gold.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, 55 years old. Jeff Hanneman of Slayer is
47. Oh, my God.
See, not once did I hear him saying that.
They didn't mention Slayer
when
once.
Brooke Shields walked out. I didn't hear that from Mike. Minnie Driver's 41 years old. Portia de Rossi's 38. And Justin Timberlake celebrates his 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey. Congratulations to Chris Banuelos of Woodland Hills. Just got those tickets for the Big Four. We've got some more for you coming up a little bit later on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:46.
Got one more look at the showbiz beat now. Ralph Garman joins us on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. What's happening, Ralph?
I'm just winded from our conversation we had off the air.
It's really difficult.
It's hard to...
Some days Bean is more Bean than others.
He is so Bean today.
Today he's a lot of Bean.
He's Bean-rific.
Bean-tastic.
Oh, my God. You watching the Piers Morgan show over on CNN?
No.
He took over for Larry King, of course. You're not watching?
I am not.
Why wouldn't you watch? Good interviewer, funny guy.
Yeah. I guess if there's somebody, like I watched the Ricky Gervais.
Right.
Do
you watch the George Clooney?
No.
Great interview.
Yeah. I don't have time. I don't have time, man. I'm busy.
You're not busy.
I am. I'm very busy.
You're sitting in the wrong dentist's office. Trying to find the right dentist office. Yeah. When you go to three wrongs for every one right place you go, I guess it does take up a lot of time.
It takes more time than you would think.
CNN's confused. I don't know why no one's watching Piers Morgan. A lot of people are like Kevin. His ratings are dropping like a stone. His debut show had Oprah Winfrey on.
Sure.
So you can imagine a big number for that,
but
right?
They can't expect those numbers to keep
but
up.
But he's had Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
George Clooney, he had Kim and Kourtney Kardashian on the other night.
Now you're going down.
But still, a huge draw.
Yeah.
But the
point here is they fired Larry King for getting a certain number. They brought in hotshot Ricky, or what's his face, Piers Morgan. And he's getting a way lower number than Larry King was when he got fired.
Yeah, he's lost 75% of his ratings over the past couple of weeks.
Wow.
That's how low it's dropped.
I don't really go to CNN ever. So that's part of the problem, I think.
Where do you go for your cable news?
Kevin announced last week that he does not watch or listen to any news.
I don't really.
Yeah.
And maybe The Daily Show. That's where I get my news.
It's not bad.
About it. I don't watch any news. I'll maybe see headlines online. I don't care.
Too busy working on those jawbreakers?
Yeah.
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 With your yo-yo and your slinky. Anyway, they're confused. They don't know why people aren't watching. Maybe people don't like them. I don't know. But, Sean Hannity's happy. His show runs up against Piers Morgan over on the Fox News Channel, and he's pulling in almost 2 million viewers an episode.
Whoa! I'm sure is he taking credit for it?
He's not yet, I'm sure he will be.
Sure.
So we got that going for us. Last night, they gave away the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Some of the highlights were the best cast in a motion picture went to The King's Speech. Colin Firth also won best outstanding performance by a male actor in a movie for his role in that film. Natalie Portman won for Black Swan. Melissa Leo won for Best Supporting Actress for The Fighter. Christian Bale won for the same film. Best performance from a male actor in a supporting role, so it did very well for itself. TV-wise, glad to see the cast of Modern Family was awarded the Best Ensemble Cast in a Comedy. Steve Buscemi's show Boardwalk Empire did well for itself. He won for Best Actor, and that won for Best Ensemble
cast for a drama. And Betty White won for Best Actress in a Comedy.
That's dumb.
Finally, someone is rewarding.
Come on.
Because you don't want that crappy Tina Fey to win. She's not funny on that show. Or Jane Lynch, she's not funny on Glee.
Both of those are way more
dumb. Hot in Cleveland, Kevin. Come on. It's the hottest show on television.
But Kevin, no! When you say it's dumb, you're basically saying the Screen Actors Guild members, who are the only ones who vote, the actors voting for actors, should not have voted for who they wanted to. They should have voted for who you wanted.
They should have voted for anyone but Betty White. That's hey, isn't she old and funny? Hey, wait a minute, she's still around?
She is sort of a national treasure, and I think maybe that could have colored the voters' opinions of what they
Although I'm going to say, and you guys can't disagree with this because I guarantee you've never watched Hot in Cleveland.
Of course
she's
not.
Terrific on that show. Her comedy
Jane Lynch
is great.
Tina Fey isn't? Come
of
on.
Of course. But there can only be one.
They're not better?
There can only be one.
There can only be
what
one.
Is she the Highlander?
She should have come in fifth in that category.
I'm just saying, maybe there was a nod for, hey, she's a national treasure, like Ralph said. But it's not like she's also not still doing quality comedy. That's all.
I'm just saying, if there's a chance she might win, you move the 84-year-old actress a little closer to the stage. They had her out by the kitchen.
Oh, no.
Of whatever hotel they were doing the show from last night.
And then there's no, like, clear path?
There was no path. There's no people mover. There's no monorail she could have grabbed. There was no way to get her quickly from...
Nobody can piggyback her?
...her seat to the microphone on the stage for her to do her acceptance speech. And so in what was perhaps the biggest dead spot in any award show ever last night, they started the music. Well, you can hear it for yourself. Here's Betty White making her way to the stage.
And the funniest actress in this category, according to Amy Poehler and the Teamsters, is Betty White.
All right, so she's
making her way to the stage.
Go.
Betty White celebrates her first nomination and first win in this category. Great. She's also nominated tonight in ensemble acting for Hot in Cleveland.
Good for her. Can't wait to hear the speech.
She's got to be getting close to the stage now, right?
She's about halfway. Right. She's still a half a football field away from the stage.
Nothing's happening?
Nope. People are just applauding.
Yeah, the band plays, and you have to stand and applaud until the person, whoever it is, gets up on the stage, right?
Yeah.
Well, how about a little speed?
Pick it up, Betty.
She's trying. She's shuffling. If it takes her this long to get to the stage, she should win the award.
Getting there. Getting there. They got a guy waiting at the bottom of the stage trying to help her up. John Hamm goes down the stairs to help her get up the stairs. Waiting for her to get to the stage.
Here's my favorite part. The band finishes the song they've rehearsed.
And then she gives her set.
Right, and starts playing it again because she's still out there.
There we go.
Can't you get like a Sherpa or something out in the audience?
This is real time. This has not been edited. This is waiting for her to get to the microphone.
She's here. She's here.
Good. I cannot believe it.
You shouldn't be able to believe it.
I couldn't believe it.
It's ridiculous. That's why they put her in the kitchen, Bean.
Well, they put her in the kitchen because nobody thought she was going to win.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You can't yell at people for voting for who they want to vote for, Kevin.
Of course I can't.
Well, you can. That's
true. I didn't yell at anyone for anything.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office this weekend. The Rite, new film about exorcism starring Anthony Hopkins. $15 million made it number one in its debut weekend. No Strings Attached came in at number two. And there was a tie between The Mechanic and The Green Hornet. The King's Speech was fifth. True Grit, The Dilemma, Black Swan, The Fighter, and Yogi Bear rounding out your top 10. James Franco's a busy guy. He's going to be hosting the Academy Awards along with Anne Hathaway in February. But he's still working on his doctorate degree. In Touch Weekly Magazine asked him if he had seen his own nomination for his role in 127 Hours. The morning it was announced, he said no because he refused to ditch his class at Yale. So he didn't find out until after the fact because he was busy taking a class in Yale.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Kevin was accepted at Yale, but then he went to Harvard. And they said, we don't find you in any of our our roles for a student. No, I'm an
accepted.
I must be on you. I must go to class.
Turns out he was at the wrong school.
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Walters is 70 years old. Very funny on Arrested Development. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, 55. Jeff Hanneman of Slayer is 47. Minnie Driver celebrates her 41st birthday. She looks good for 41, by the way.
I wonder how Minnie celebrates. Minnie celebrates to the maxi.
Airtight.
Portia de Rossi's 38 years old. And Justin Timberlake, JT, star of The Social Network. He was there at the SAG Awards as well last night. He is
with his shaved head.
30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Hillary Swank on the program. We have the GM of the Lakers, Jeannie Buss.
Has a new
book called Laker Girl. And we have tickets for you to go to the Big Four, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax, all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's coming up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the latest from Rise Against, that called Help is on the Way. Also some Incubus, Black Keys, Sublime Killers, and more next on K-Rock.